live. This is on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Okay, here's the situation. It's like this. We did a charitable thing today at church. It was Haiti Loves Italian Food, and there's a couple of schools in Haiti that don't have walls on their schools. They're basically, this is not funny, I'm serious. They basically, their schools are under the trees, if you will. That's the only thing they've got of benefit is shade, but no protection from the elements. And today we had a pasta dinner, on behalf of the children of Haiti who deserve to be in schools that have walls, that afford the teachers the opportunity to not worry about the kids getting wet, their books getting wet, and all that kind of stuff. Haiti, as you know, has run into some tough times over the years. You know, they had tough times as far as sickness is concerned, monsoon weather. They just haven't caught a break over the years. And my church, St. Christopher's, of course, they are the travelers. We are the travelers, St. Christopher's, because, you know, if anybody who's Christian knows that St. Christopher is the saint of travel. And we'll talk about that as far as football is concerned later. So, yeah, I was going to do the show tomorrow, the lacrosse show. And at the very last second, my wife just drove me home. Now I had a glass of wine, so I don't drink wine and drive. Well, I don't drink anything that's of any kind of alcohol and drive. It's just not a good idea. So anyway, we just got home, like I swear to you, and I just came from church, so you can believe me. I just got home, what, 3 minutes ago? 4 minutes ago? 4 minutes ago, okay. And I didn't have time to change the name of the show. So I apologize to the football fans, but they'll get over it. You know, they'll get over it. We're on strike anyway in football, so who really cares at this point what we're talking? We're just going to talk about the strike anyway. But what we can do is complete the year of the National Lacrosse League. As you may or may not know, the National Lacrosse League had its championship yesterday. And yesterday, this week, this past Saturday, to be clear. Obviously, the wine's showing. Anyway, I got Rocco with me. I don't know where Aaron is. Aaron, he's on his way back, and he's texting me, ha, ha. And of course, Gary's having some fine dining. He's eating 30 pounds of meat. Oh, no, no, he's got 30 pounds. He's working on 30 pounds of meat to make 30,000 hamburgers? Dude, that's way too many additives. Oh, he's referring to it as, yeah, we're doing this tonight, Gary. Rocco's here, and if you don't believe me, here, check it out. Here, I'll bring Rocco in. Rocco, you know what Gary just said? Are you doing the show tonight?
Yeah, I just want a message from him.
Listen, we only do this show for us, so I really don't care who's listening. It's the same with the CFL show. I really don't care who's listening. We have fun doing the show. And I always, Rocco, you've been a wonderful guy to know, to get to know, and you have been a real influence on how I feel about the National Lacrosse League. You are an old-time dedicated guy who sees the good in your game. even when it struggles, and it's been through a few struggles, and even your team that has been through a few struggles, you still are loyal. And I have to say this, and I'm going to repeat it on the CFL portion of the show. I am becoming more and more disheartened with Argo fans. Argo fans, in fact, are my home team. I'm becoming disenchanted with the Argo fans. Gary, wherever you are, get in here so I can say it to you as well, so that, you know, as a group, and not as individuals, but as a group, very disappointed in Argo fans. And I will explain further once these guys, well, it appears these guys are too busy right now. Aaron's feeding his dog or something, or walking his dog, or picking up poop along the side of the road or something. So why don't we get to the business at hand, which is, of course, the National Lacrosse League. What an incredible season. In a circuitous way, we went around in a complete circle. I think we went 360 degrees to end up with the same victor as last year. Am I emphasizing that too much, that we sort of wasted this whole season and just, you know, it looked like maybe it would be somebody else, and, you know, Edmonton looked like a good shot. Buffalo at the very beginning of the season looked like a good shot. Calgary looked like a threat. But old school, Rochester wins it.
Yeah, I mean, three in a row, their fifth title in franchise history. As far as what you said about just going around basically in a circle and, you know, them having the championship, yeah, in the beginning of the year, it looked like Edmonton
Buffalo
could win it.
No, at the very beginning, it looked like Buffalo, because Buffalo had Rochester's number early, right?
They only beat them one time out of the four.
No, I know, but they had a good lead on Rochester. Rochester was in second place for a while.
Well, the thing is that they had a lead on them, but they didn't play them enough.
Do me a favor. Just agree with me. I'm the host. Agree with me.
see, the thing is, I said this in the beginning of the year, okay?
Gotcha.
If Buffalo wanted to win this division, they needed to have at the very least, a two-game lead going into the final 2 weeks, because I looked at the schedule.
And ahead by 10 goals in the last quarter.
Yeah, and because I looked at the schedule. And that's how I came up. I mean, you saw my email where I had what my picks were.
Yes, sir.
For the division, what the records were going to be and everything. And I said this, if Buffalo doesn't have at least a two-game lead going into his final 2 weeks, they're not going to win the division, because they were playing Rochester in those final 2 weeks. And there was no way that was going to happen. Now, like I said before, Buffalo got taken to school, as Coach Cordingley said, the first game of the year by Philadelphia. Then they start rolling off a bunch of games. They go 8-2. Then they lose 8 in a row. And everybody figures them as dead in the water. Then they knock out Toronto in the first round, which was to my surprise, and then they take Rochester. Not only do they win the first game, but they take them to the 10-minute game and then overtime in the 10-minute game. So, I mean, you know, there was a lot there that, you know, nobody really expected. And the same thing with Edmonton, reeling off 14 in a row.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You know, they looked, you know, well, they did. They looked unbeatable, and really, it just turned on them so quick. It was like one loss, and they lost their mojo. But we talked about that before they did lose their first game. I was concerned about how late they lose that first game, because it's hard to get back after you
to get back on track, right?
Beautiful run.
Well, the thing is, it's not just a matter of when you lose. You know, you're 14-0, and you lose games 15 and game 17. In the schedule out of 18. The problem, I don't want to say what the problem was. I think the one downfall that they had was they had every single game in hand. They never really played from behind a lot in those 14 games. So when Colorado basically set the tempo in that game, they didn't know what to do.
And basically exposed Edmonton.
Yeah, Edmonton didn't know how to react from that.
It's true.
You know? I mean, it was just, you know, the matter of them not knowing how to respond from that. I mean,
if
they would have been able to do that earlier in the season, you might have seen them go 15-0 at that point. And
maybe
run the table. You don't know.
It just didn't happen for them.
A whole lot of ifs. But they are going to be a team to reckon with.
In the future?
Yes.
But right now, not so much. They're on the sidelines now with everybody else.
No, they need to get another sniper. Now, with Corey Small being out all season because of the ACL that he tore last summer playing with the Victoria Shamrocks, that kind of hurt them because he was kind of like a go-to guy as well. You know, if Mark Matthews was getting shut down, he had Corey Small stepping up. You know, so with him coming back next season, it's going to add a little bit more to their offense. And depending on who they get in the draft this year, they're going to be another threat in 2015.
Now, let's talk about the game. It was one of those games where it just seemed this was the feeling that I had that in fact it was going to go to, you know, overtime, and it did, to the mini game. Was the mini game? Do you think that the mini game had an effect on the series, or do you just think that all things set aside, when the marbles were on the table and ready to be scooped, it was going to be Rochester?
Well, like I said last week when we spoke, Rochester gets the lead. They got to keep the foot on the pedal the whole time. They got to keep it going, and that's exactly what they did. Calgary took out their starter, Poulin, at a certain point to have him rest and recover for the 10-minute game, okay? Rochester kept up the pressure. That's what they needed to do, and that's exactly what they did. Then when, you know, you win the first game 16-10, and you just totally controlled that game, that, you know, everybody, I mean, the Blue Cross Arena was very loud. I never heard something that loud in a long time. And I've been in some loud buildings before. And the place was rocking.
And the motivation was there.
Yes, very, very much. I mean, there was 9,188 in attendance. It sounded like over 15,000 that were in that building. And they knew. The Nighthawks knew that the fans were out there on the floor with them during that first game. I mean, it was, you know, up and back the whole first half. You're looking at 7-6 Rochester lead, and then, you know, they kept that one goal lead until the fourth quarter. They outscored them 6-1. They just kept that pressure. And then when you went to the 10-minute game, Calgary opened up 2-0. Everybody, you know, the Rochester fans were still behind their team. And then at around the 5-minute mark, when they took that commercial break, I left my seat. My wife was like, "Where are you going?" I said, "I got to get down to the tunnel. Because whoever wins, they're going to open up that door, and I'm going to be the first one out there on the floor to grab whoever from the winning team." Well, out of nowhere, Rochester just racked out 3 goals in a row. And from me just sitting in my seat where I was, you know, during the game, and then being down in the tunnel behind the Calgary net, it echoed so loud in there. There were police officers in the tunnel. They were high-fiving everybody, going nuts. And I mean, you've seen the people with, you know, the hats they hand out, the championship hats and shirts, flipping the boxes. Calgary-Rochester. All of a sudden, the last, like, 30 seconds, the Rochester box, you know, was on the bottom. Calgary's was on top, just waiting to see what, you know, what they were going to do. And as the game got over, you just seen the Calgary box go flying, and they ran with the Rochester box out on the floor. It was something to see history like that. And, you know, I've seen all 3 goals get past Poulin. You know, the 2 by Craig Point and the 1 by Joe Walters, and, you know, where they beat him over the shoulder and low, and the one that trickled by him. And it was just like being on the floor. And when that final buzzer went off and we got out on the floor, I think I spoke to about 9 or 10 Rochester Nighthawks. immediately after the game. And Joel McCready was the first one. I think I was excited as he was, you know, just because I was there to witness this and actually report on it, and he was the first one that I was able to interview as far as, you know, what does this mean, three in a row, something that has never been done in this being the 28th year of indoor lacrosse. I mean, you look at the teams that have come close and the players that were on that team. I mean, the Philadelphia Wings had a chance to do it twice. Buffalo had a chance to do it a couple times. Toronto, they could have won five in a row if it wasn't for the Wings winning in 2001. And you look at that roster that they had from 1999 all the way through 2003 season. There are some big names on that roster. Jim Veltman for one of them. Scoop. I mean, you just look at those names that are on that roster for Toronto and the Buffalo roster from back in the day when they had a chance to three-peat, and the same thing with the Philadelphia Wings.
And coincidentally, Veltman was in Calgary, so you know he had an opportunity to protect the image. He had an opportunity to protect the image that that the Toronto Rock had back in the day when he played for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's not like, oh, this is just a Buffalo Bandit team that won three in a row, or you know, the Nighthawks just won three. This is a solid Nighthawk team that has not made any changes since they first won the championship in 2012. The only thing they did, they brought over the Dawsons. They made a couple little tweaks here and there. Nothing where you got five guys going here and six guys coming in the following year. They stayed with basically the same roster.
Well, the Nighthawks didn't three-peat by accident. They have had a great team, and their team, as you say, they've only tweaked the team. But the thing is, even when you tweak a team, it can make a giant, giant difference. And at least I think we can agree that whether it, you know, built the team up to a much better team than it was last year, it definitely, the tiny moves that they made this year didn't weaken the team. And to me, that's the amazing thing about them winning their third straight championship title. It's not as easy as one might think to win three in a row in lacrosse. This year there was the new thing where they brought in the extra game and then the mini game as the decider. But still, you know, it felt as though Rochester just, I'm not saying they didn't care, but they weren't motivated. They didn't seem motivated to win that game in Calgary. Calgary seemed far more motivated. And, you know, because, you know, Rochester played one game, the difference between these two teams comes down to 10 minutes. That's what the difference is. And that's what makes winning the championship 3 years in a row, to be able to win that 10-minute game. That's what this all came down to, folks. That's all it was. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean,
What an opposite. This is such an opposite experience than when I do the football. We got five people talking at once in football. We got nobody talking at once.
Yeah. No, it did come down to that 10-minute game, and when Calgary opened up 2-0, I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, it was a nice run. And they had it, you know, you would think Rochester had a shot to at least cut the lead in half when there was a penalty at around, I think it was the 5:11 mark. I can't remember who got the penalty. I had it here in my book.
The big thing was that Vince didn't let Calgary get any further ahead. Vince really did spin on his head and you know, he did everything except spit Nichols out.
Yeah,
he was just solid. incredible in goal. And you know, every championship they say, you know, the best defenses beat the best offenses. And Calgary had the best defense on the first night of the championship bout, if I can call it that. But unfortunately, Rochester just shut them down. And on top of that, showed that they have offense. And Vince was incredible. I mean, you know, they won the championship without a doubt. You know, it was one of those things where even though the 10-minute game came down to a 3-2 score, they really did hand it to Calgary at home in the game, in the back, you know, the back half, the second game. 16-10, they were full value for that margin of victory.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, Dan Dawson was going to be a big part of that game should he be in the lineup. He was in the lineup. 3 goals and 4 assists in the 16-10 game, and then he assisted on the game-winning goal, the championship goal, I should say, at the, you know, at the end. Oh, look at this. We're getting messages from Gary and Aaron that are now sending their numbers to get them
all of a sudden
on.
They're around. Yeah, now they're around. Yeah, where were you when I needed you? Huh? Where were you when I needed you to? Yeah, sure. Now you want to come in. Yeah, now you want to join us. Yeah, I see. I see how it is.
Let them come in. I want to hear
You think we should call them? Do you think we should call them?
You know what? I want you to call them because I want to hear how Eating Crow sounds.
Oh, ouch.
Because
you know,
I was the only one.
But if I'm going to call them just so that you can hurt their feelings.
Was going to happen.
Well, that's not right. That's not right. Come on. They're both nice guys. Hey, listen, they pay me $10 a week to say that they're nice guys.
I heard that.
If you know either of them, you know they don't got $10 to bribe me with. So you know that's not true. Aaron,
well, you know, I mean, if Rocco wants to continue to be a whiny bitch about it, I can just hang up now.
Oh, this is a family show, man. Least you can do is say biatch.
I just gave the proper name of a female dog. I don't see what the problem is.
That's right.
All right. See, now, by the way, Aaron, just for the sake of discussion, Rocco wants to know, what does Crow taste like anyway?
Kind of like McDonald's hamburger.
Yeah, it's about right.
But no, he's eaten more of it than I have over the years.
Probably.
With no mustard, just ketchup. Also joining us is Gary Grube. Sorry, guys, I was busy working a charitable dinner, and I literally didn't make it here until 1 minute to 9. I barely got the show on. I had to basically start the football show at 9. It was the easiest thing for me to do. I couldn't prepare the show in time. Today was really off the hook. We had a great time. We were helping schools in Haiti. And unfortunately, at the same time, Rocco was just dying to school you guys on what it means to understand and predict victory. Gary, how did the
I had to listen to it on Saturday, so it's your guys' turn now.
You didn't listen to it that much. We did a show, and we had a great time.
We did. We had a super time. It was awesome there.
I mean, as we were sitting there doing the show, and it was, you know, it was up on YouTube. It was, you know, a video show. It was the first time I ever did that, doing it live from the Stock Exchange in Rochester. The fans were pouring in. The beer was flowing. The food was being served. Then you seen Roughneck fans coming in, and, you know, you see the old-school Caleb Toth jerseys and Jeff Shatler and Scott Ranger jerseys, and, you know, we've seen Calgary fans sitting by themselves, and then some Rochester fans told them, "Hey, come and sit with us." And
so
it was, you know,
what was it like, Gary, sitting in the stadium, watching history being made?
That was probably the loudest building I've been in a long, long time. 10,000 fans should have been 40,000 because it was the roof. I thought was going to blow off that place. It was just electric everywhere. And it was just that, history. And, you know, you almost saw a strategy work by Calgary resting players in the fourth when they saw it getting out of hand and coming out with a big jump in the mini game. But, Rochester did what they did all year long and did what they needed to do with a little bit of time left to do just enough to win. And there we have our champion.
Which, by the way, that was the big question you asked every time this season when we were – discussing the mini game and what happens if you win, if the other team wins the first game, and do you rest guys? Do you do this? You got your answer.
Yeah, and you know what? It almost came true. If it was any other team, I think that would have worked. Also, if that penalty wasn't called and they didn't have to spend 2 minutes killing off a penalty, if they could have put in that third goal, I think that was over.
Yeah.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, it would have been over, but it should have gave them a little more momentum because they killed off that penalty.
But their defense was absolutely exhausted for 2 minutes of trying to stop Rochester's offense, and that was a huge thing, too.
Yeah. And I
it was a good penalty, though, right? It was a good penalty, though. I mean, call.
Yeah.
No, it was.
Key tack in a minigame, man.
Yeah.
You're not going to call it all game long. Why would you start doing it in a minigame?
Yeah, but that was an obvious hold.
It's a Gardonio call, period.
Yeah. You know what, though? As much as I trash Gardonio during the season and when he does games, he did a bang-up job. He really
did.
Oh,
yeah, for whatever team pays him more.
No, he did. Now, as much as I like to trash him, okay, I sat there and said, you know what, regardless of who wins this game, they're letting them play the game, okay? I mean, it was an obvious hold. It wasn't.
Except for the mini game where they decided to call a penalty. This game Gardonio refs is when LeBranch is reffing.
But Rocco, if the outcome wasn't what it was and the call was the other way,
I would have said the same thing.
Well, no, you wouldn't have said the same thing because there wouldn't have been as much crow at stake.
No, I would have. No, seriously, no, I'm saying no.
Been the only two people at the stock exchange.
Yeah. No, I would have because, I mean, he's done many a wings games and he's called a lot of ticky-tack calls on both sides. Okay? And I'll sit there and I'll say whether or not the calls are good or not. And this wasn't like a little hold on the back of a jersey. Okay? This was an obvious hold that happened. Okay,
all kidding aside, the officiating didn't have an impact on the game. Not truly.
No,
it didn't. It wasn't lousy enough
I'm glad
to say that it rose up to affecting the game, which is really good. That's what we hope for in sports is that the officiating, as we all know, these are humans. These are not, you know, mystical figures. You know, these are people who are human. And as long as the knife cuts both ways,
yeah,
it's okay. You know, it's not National Hockey League officiating where they're trying to make sure a certain team wins the cup. This basically was officiating that at the very least was. Why are we laughing?
That just sounded funny. Sorry.
What? The fix
is always in
the National Hockey League. The fix is always in. It's inconsistent. That's why I'm glad that this game. And every playoff game this year, I have to say that the officiating by far was the best of any sport. You look at the NBA, questionable calls, inconsistent officiating. And by inconsistent, guys, I don't mean that they favor a team and move on. I'm talking about, where in what I like to call the automatic calls. In the National Hockey League, there is no automatic call. There are automatic calls in the books. But those automatic calls don't mean diddly during the game. It depends who does the infraction in the National Hockey League. It's quite clear. There are no automatic calls in the National Hockey League. You're referring to the hold where the guy reaches over the guy's back and grabs his jersey. It's kind of hard not to call, even though, there weren't a lot of penalties called early. That's what I call an automatic call, other than a chintzy call. A guy raising his stick and hitting a guy in the face, that's an automatic call. You understand what I'm saying? And a guy, let's say a guy slashes a guy even in lacrosse and he breaks his stick. That's got to be a slash. That's illegal. If you can break a guy's stick with a slash, you're not playing the game right and you deserve a penalty. So, if those don't get called, that's when people start becoming, and every fan of every team has a complaint when it comes to the National Hockey League. Their officiating is probably the worst in all of sports. I don't think there's a worse officiating crew than the National Hockey League, especially the people who make calls after the game, who are totally inconsistent and don't make calls the same way. It's garbage. It's Bush League. The National Hockey League is Bush League. Be grateful, guys, that the officiating at the NHL level is what it is, because at least for the most part, at best, it's marginally inconsistent. Marginally. Not as obvious.
Yeah. Now, I got a question. I want to know if Gary saw this as well as I did. In the second quarter, when Sean Evans got that 2 minute unsportsmanlike, okay, you seen him slam the penalty box door, punch the glass, and basically yell an obscenity to the official. If this was any other game, I think he would have easily either got another 10-minute misconduct.
I figure he would have got 10.
Or he would have got ejected.
Yeah, I figured he would have gotten 10, and he's done it way, way too many times.
Yeah, I mean, he just – I mean, it was obviously him and Ian Moore got unsportsmanlike calls because it was after a goal, and there was already a call made, and they both did a little pushing and shoving, you know, whatever.
But he called both of them, right?
He called both of them.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, that happened on the other side of the floor. I was at the other end. My seats were third row, right at the Rochester
Bowl.
But
Rocco, isn't that by definition two guys doing the same thing, both getting penalties? Is that not the definition of consistent?
Yeah. I mean,
if that were the National Hockey League, one guy would have got a game suspension and a 10-minute misconduct and a 5-minute major, and the other guy would have got nothing if it was a National Hockey League.
Right, and
that's what
I refer to
with the National Hockey League. They're very inconsistent.
Yeah,
it makes it look like the fix is in.
Yeah, I mean, and this happened.
The officiating, I'm very happy with the officiating that the NLL did this year. There's the odd call, but, you know, guys, when you have to search really hard to find inconsistency in officiating, that in itself should give the officials and the officials.
I don't know how hard I have to really, Frank. Rocco, didn't Philadelphia lose a game to Minnesota with a really crazy referee call?
That was. I mean,
when you can explain that one to me, then you can talk about consistency, Frank.
Yeah, Kirk.
How many times did that happen this year? How many times did that kind of poor call happen this year?
Oh, there's a number of poor calls. Believe me.
Frank, the ones being talked about, Evan Kirk was standing in his crease. He had one foot in his crease. He scooped up the loose ball, and as he scooped up and was getting ready to pass it, I don't know who it was behind the net for Minnesota, hit his stick at the same time as he was throwing it, and it altered the pass, and it dropped right in front of the net. I believe it was Andrew Suter picked it up, put it into the empty net, and it gave Minnesota a one-goal lead, and that was
the deciding goal of the game.
The goalie had the ball.
In the crease, and he had one foot outside the crease.
One in, one out. As long as you have one foot in that crease or on the line, and the goalie touches that ball, you cannot touch the goalie.
And I'm assuming the back foot, because that's what he would have had. I don't know the call you're referring to. So his back foot was down. In other words, his planting foot for him to pass, right? Because usually, you know, goaltenders, they don't have to worry about the fancy shooting, you know, because they're trying to fool a goaltender. They're just trying to make sure they're getting some meat on the pass, right?
It was just a matter of him scooping the ball up and trying to get possession of the ball, and then the player hitting his stick. The goalie's in the crease. You cannot touch the goalie or his stick if even his foot is on the line. Whether he has the ball or not, you cannot touch the goalie. And that's what happened. He was trying to scoop up the loose ball, and they hit the goalie stick.
Your definition of what you said is that he had one foot outside the line.
But he had the foot inside, Frank. That's all that matters.
No, I understand it. No. I understand it matters. But is it not a real bad call if he has both feet inside the crease?
It's a bad call either way.
Bad call with one foot inside the crease, especially with review.
Yeah, no,
the thing is, that call is not reviewable by the league.
It's reviewable only if there's a clear indication that the call on the floor was wrong.
No, it's not reviewable.
That call was not reviewable. Only thing that is reviewable are goals.
But I thought you said they reviewed it.
No, it's not reviewable.
No, they wouldn't allow them to review that. They reviewed the goal. It was good.
The goal was good. The goal went in. No feet were in the crease. you cannot. The problem was they touched the goalie while he was still in the crease.
Okay, let me ask you a question. It was a referee's error, right? Made on the floor, and it couldn't be corrected because of the rules.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that it was half the rules' fault and half the officials' fault?
No, this was all official for 100%. One reason. For one reason and one reason only. He was 5 feet away looking right at it because it happened right in front of me. I sit 8 rows off the floor, and I watched it. And the referee is no more than 5 feet away from the call.
Okay.
Wasn't another one the goal that wasn't a goal that they called against Toronto with Minnesota? where it took actually review, even though Gardonio, I think, was 4 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never saw the ball go in or out, but they called it a goal.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll trash Gardonio when it's needed.
Well, I guess Gardonio is the exception to the rule. The games that I saw, and I admit I will not watch and will not have the opportunity to watch as many games as you guys watch, but in the games that I saw, for the most part, the officiating may have been questionable at points, but here's what I'm going to tell you, okay? Here's the point I'm trying to make, just to make sure that we're clear and we understand. A call was made by an official that the league couldn't fix, yes or no? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
It was a play by an official that couldn't be fixed by the league.
Right.
Okay. So a coach grabs his crotch and pays a fine of $25,000 or $10,000, whatever it is, right? Right?
This is your salary in lacrosse, right?
Am I right about that? Do we know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yep.
And yet a guy can threaten a guy verbally, be heard saying it, and there's no punishment. Do you see the difference? The league had a chance to fix a mistake by the official. They have every right to fix it. But the league decided not to do it simply because the guy that did it was a Bruin. A couple of years ago, Montreal. Bruin defenseman flashes the finger at the camera to all the viewers. The official missed it. The league had a chance to fix it. Did they? No. You know what the excuse was? Well, he's not normally that kind of guy. Does that sound like it's being apologetic? You know, guys, the call that you're talking about, when the NLL gets to the point where a player of a team can break the rules, do it in a manner that is reviewable, all right, especially a violent or what I like to call classless, which has nothing to do with the game. Grabbing your crotch has nothing to do with the game. I see the light that he should get penalized because that's rude, right? It's rude. But a guy threatening a guy verbally saying, I'm going to kill you next year, and he doesn't even get a fine? No, guys.
They didn't because Nesky give the Buffalo fans the salute, the fingers, last year in the fights against Colorado Buffalo.
Oh yeah, there was a Trudeau salute in there. I'm pretty sure I saw one.
And was it dealt with or just ignored?
Yeah, the league suspended him.
That's all I'm saying. See, guys, you can't change the rules in the middle of our conversation. So what I said, and I'll stick to what I said. When a referee makes a mistake because I hate to say this because this is not. I don't mean this about your referee that you're referring to. When a referee makes a mistake because he's incompetent. It's because of his incompetence, okay? You can't fault the league because the referee's incompetent unless...
No, you totally can. You totally can. They hired that incompetent ass in the first place.
I understand.
And they kept him on. Even Matt Robinson had to resign before, the league wouldn't get rid of him last year after making a couple of really, really exceptional...
You're missing the point, though. When his incompetence can be fixed, and they don't fix it, when the league doesn't fix an incompetent official, which the National Hockey League apparently has quite a few, you know, then there's a problem in sport. You know, when a guy can threaten a guy, all right, verbally threaten a guy and use these exact words, I'm going to kill you next year, and he can use those words on the floor, on the ice, and the league does nothing, no one's going to convince me that the Boston Bruins aren't a preferred team of the National Hockey League. No one is going to convince me they're not. Because we saw earlier this year, and we see all the time, we see guys getting called for stuff which is marginal at best, even getting suspended for stuff. And you're lucky in the National Lacrosse League that you have at least a league that reviews stuff and makes it right. That's what I'm talking about. Incompetence, and when I say incompetence in official, guys, let's be fair. A guy can have a brain cramp, you know, an incompetent moment, you know. I know you don't like this official, and I get that. But as long as the league isn't covering, you know, if they're putting him back out there again, shame on them. And he is consistently incompetent, if you're right. That's shame on the league. But if the league has an opportunity to fix his incompetent behavior, in other words, if he makes a mistake, and they choose not to, whose fault is that again? The league's. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. So, you know, a bad call against the Wings. I'm sorry that that happened to you. And it sounds like a real terrible call. But as you guys said, the league couldn't review it. So the league's hands were tied.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But I know that they're going to discuss calls like that for next season to make those reviewable.
And you know that happened, right? Because you heard that's what happened, and you understand this is my point. This is you're really helping me out here. The league realized they made a mistake, and they may not have said it publicly in a statement, but the word got out that they were unhappy the way that turned out, correct?
Right. Well, no, they did come out and say that they apologized for that mistake. It was put out there.
Even better. What more do you want than that?
Right, but you know what? Yeah, they did apologize, but it's not like they're going to say, okay, let's replay those last 6 minutes of the game.
When was the last time you heard the National Hockey League say they made a mistake, and they make more than anybody?
Exactly, yeah.
That's my point. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, no, guys. No, I understand that.
You know, just... and this year Rochester won because they were the best team in the league.
Yep, that's true. And bringing it back to the game, I can see why both teams were there. Because all around, those were the two best teams in the league. Because we saw everything in that game.
Yep.
We saw a little bit of everything in that game. You want a finesse, you had finesse. You wanted hitting, you had hitting. You want a rough play, you had rough play. You wanted scoring, you had scoring. You wanted saves, both goalies stood on their heads. You had everything in that game. And you had a one-goal victory. So you had everything in the minigame. So it was incredible. It was quite the night. Anybody who was there got their money's worth and 10 times more. And the people in the area who weren't there, shame on them. They should have been there.
And Gary, 100%. You should have stuck around.
Oh, gosh.
Unfortunately, 3.5 hours later, I was on the road driving back to Toronto.
No, you should have stayed. I didn't get back to the hotel till about 4:45.
That was you on the road, was it, when I was leaving?
No. I walked. My hotel was across the river.
So was mine. You're on the same floor, Rocco.
Yeah, the players came back to the stock exchange at 2:10. By 2:20, we were drinking the champagne out of the cup.
Oh, really?
And Cody Jameson is one of the most unbelievable guys you would ever want to sit down and have a beer with.
Really?
Oh yeah. They ran out of the champagne. I mean, they poured the champagne into the cup. Okay. The first drink was going to John, who runs the stock, but he wasn't there. He was on a cruise.
Right.
So what we did is we got a plastic cup, we dipped it into the champion's cup, and filled it with champagne and put that in the refrigerator for John. So that was officially the first drink for him. And then the other bartender, JD, who was taking over for John for the weekend, drank out of the cup, and then it just went around, you know, individually. I think I was like the fourth or fifth one to drink out of it.
All right.
And then once it was all gone, Cody Jameson comes by. He's like, okay, no more champagne. He goes, the cup's empty. He looked at his beer. He poured the rest of his beer in the cup and then tilted the cup back and drank the beer out of the cup.
Fantastic.
I mean, I'm sitting there. He comes by. He goes, you don't have a beer. I said, yeah, I just finished mine. He goes, here you go.
For the record, Rocco, now that you've drunk out of the cup, Philly's not winning it again. You know that, right?
Oh,
well, you know what? I drank out of it back in 2012 as well.
And Philly hasn't won since then either, have they?
Last time Philly won was what, 2001, 10-9 in Toronto, and that was it?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
That broke up our five-peat, so this talk would be mute if that didn't happen, though.
Oh, that hurts.
So they did their job.
But
wow.
I mean, it was just one hell of an event. I mean, the players walked in carrying cases of beer under their arms.
That's crazy.
So as you got done your beer, you know, you went up. Who was buying you a beer? Who was buying you shots? I mean, I got to talk, you know, not just at the Sock Exchange to Cody, to Vino, to all those guys, but even on the floor after the game. I was, you know, telling Frank earlier, I got a chance to interview Joel McCready, Corey Vitarelli, Johnny Pallas, Paul Gate, Patty O'Toole, Joe Walters. I interviewed about nine Nighthawks.
And those are great pictures you had, too.
Including Patty O'Toole and Paul Gate. And this wasn't recorded, but off the record, I looked at Johnny and said, hey, think about it. The first two cups you won, you had to drink soda out of it. Now you can finally drink the champagne because you finally turned 21. And, you know, I got a picture.
Like
my wife took a picture of it, and you see him laughing. I mean, I got a picture. If you go onto my Facebook and you look at my album for the NLL Championship 2014, you see a picture of me interviewing Johnny, and it was right after the interview I said that to him, and you see him laughing. I mean, he's not much on words, but he's really laid back. He's really funny. He's a nice kid. I mean, 21 years old, third title. I mean, it's just unreal. I mean, the pictures that I took, the rain shower of confetti, that was me looking up in the air taking that picture as that was falling. I mean, it was just to be believed, just, you know, what was out there. The families of the players, Joe Walters' dad, I believe, was out there. You know, did that. He hugged him. He was always at all the games, and you know, Cody's wife coming out with their baby, and just, you know, you just see the emotion and the fans. I mean, you know, they stayed, and they were a bit upset because in 2012 they allowed the fans to come out onto the floor. This year they didn't allow them to. So I'm thinking that maybe because it was a three-peat, they were afraid that something may happen on the floor or what have you. But, you know, you let them on the floor in 2012, and now on the history one, you don't let them. I got to, you know.
You also had the Calgary team sticking around for the celebration, too, so that could have gotten ugly, too, so you didn't want that.
Well, no, they were off the floor.
Well, most of them were hanging around by the bench for watching the cup. So
right, but after
when everybody was coming on the floor, they were still there, so I think it was a good move on
the cup, they went off.
Yeah, I think it was a good move.
Well, yeah, but after they gave him the cup, they went off.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I still think it was a good move.
I think that they should have allowed some of the fans on there.
Yeah.
Like maybe what they could have done is if they knew that they weren't going to let fans out on the floor from the beginning, maybe you give them the season ticket holders that have had them for, I don't know, we'll just say 10-plus years. You give them a special pass, you know, and you allow them out on the floor.
It sounds like a little
whatever.
Too much organization, something they would have difficulty
on. Item, really.
Don't you think?
A block down the road, you're going to see them, like you said. So, you know, that's not a big...
Yeah, you're right. It's not a big guy. I can understand, but some of the fans were upset because they wanted to get down there and enjoy, you know, get in on the celebration.
Well, you know, they'll get over it.
Yeah, I know. I was one of the lucky ones. I had my media credential, and I also brought my extra one with me, so my wife was able to get on the floor as well. So my wife was enemy number one to some of our fans, to some of our friends, I should say, that we know up there.
Oops. It was fun bantering with everybody, though, being one of the 20 people in the arena cheering for Calgary.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a whole lot better being one of the 9,000, I mean, rooting off to the side for Rochester.
It was difficult, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, Frank, like I said, just being in that tunnel underneath that clock.
Hey, you ain't got nothing. You got nothing to say to me. I wasn't there, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get that chance to be on the floor during a championship. Because as a fan, you know, I shouldn't say that because I was.
You were
on
at the game, Frank. You know, there was an extra seat in the car, right?
Yeah.
And I do apologize for having you at the TFC game, Frank.
What for?
Because
you weren't at the game.
You're trying to be funny. Oh, I got it. Okay. Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was fine. I'm still laughing. the game. That's so funny. I was being sincere. Aaron, where's Aaron? And I said, you know, it's one thing to go to a game, okay? And I went to the game, and I got to be honest with you. You know, I like soccer. And you know, next week, soccer's football, European football, South American football, Asian football, you know, doesn't matter what you call it, you know, British football, soccer as we know it here, people are going to go nuts, you know, in the next, following next week, it all starts. So, you know, Aaron brings me to the game, and we sit down and we start watching the game. And the reason we both fell asleep at the same time, the reason we woke up is because both our heads hit each other, and we woke ourselves up. And you can get a mental picture there. All of a sudden, oh, sorry, Aaron. Oh, geez, where are we? Oh, the soccer game.
Hey, dang, no homo. What?
True FC Fest.
Wow, that's a shame.
What, going to the game or that we didn't enjoy it as much maybe as others might? And
I don't know. My weekend was every minute was taken. I had just checked in when I got a text from Rocco that I got to get over because the show's starting.
So there you go.
Able to throw my luggage on the bed and off I went. And from then on, it was all Champions Cup all the time until I got back to the city.
The game was a good game. Before I leave people thinking that we didn't enjoy the soccer game, Aaron and I enjoyed the soccer game. And I enjoyed mostly wearing my Argo gear and enjoyed yelling, Argos, because, you know, and you could hear clearly I was saying that. And people turned around and looked at me like to say, you know. And then, of course, all the nice comments of my hard hat, because I had my Roadies Rock hard hat on and got a bunch of compliments on the hard hat. And people asked about the Argos, and they asked me why I came, you know. And as Aaron knows, I said, because I wanted to see your grass before we get on it and beat the crap out of it. Well, no, because in soccer, I'm not sure they even touch the ground when they play. Do they?
Oh, I'm loving this.
Do they touch the ground when they play?
They
in
just
football,
seem to float.
We beat the crap out of the grass. We beat the crap out of the grass. And if anybody comes near them, they start crying, a lot like the National Hockey League now.
Well, they have the magic towel, don't they?
They sure do. What is
this? Whenever somebody falls down, the magic towel comes up, and they're good as new.
There you go. There you go. So, anyway, look, guys, we've got about 8 minutes left. Big moment in the game. Share it with me. Aaron, why don't we start with you? You haven't had much to say about the game. Why don't you talk about the game and how you saw it? Give us a couple of minutes on your interpretation of the victory by those guys, those dastardly guys from Rochester.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I went anything away from them. It was as far as I'm concerned, it was a really crackerjack game. It was a game of runs. You know, there wasn't a lot of exchanging of goals. It was, you know, 4-1 way, 2-the other, 3-1 way, 3-the other. It went back and forth like that and seesawed all game during the second game. You got into the overtime, and that's where it got fun. You know, because Calgary jumped out early to the 2-0 lead, and then Rochester fought their way back, which was really nice to see. I mean, granted, they held the lead for the last 6 minutes, but that didn't make it any less exciting. You know, because Calgary was always threatening. There was always the opportunity or the chance that they would. And, I mean, it was really, really clean as well. And the only penalty that you saw actually didn't affect anything because it was at 5 minutes and 11 seconds in the overtime game, the first 10-minute minigame. I don't know what Curtis Manning was thinking, but all in all, it was a lot of fun to watch. You know, even after the fact, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Perfect. All right, now, real quick, because we only got a couple of minutes left. We got about 5 minutes left. And I expect Gary and, the three of you can stay. And I'm going to use a couple of minutes to talk about something else with Rocco. I have a question for Rocco on his viewpoint of something. In the next hour, in the football hour, before my guys come, if whoever's available to come on the show to do the football thing. I hope you and Gary, you're both welcome to stick around and we can talk about the Argos and such things. A couple of minutes, guys, on what you thought was when you realized that Rochester was going to win this game. Was there a time when, you know, beyond the national anthem, when you thought that Rochester was going to win this? Because I'm sure at least one of you three knew that Rochester was going to win and win the mini game. How about you first, Gary?
You know what? It was 10-9 for Rochester going into the fourth, and I was watching Malosky giving the pep talk of pep talks, and I thought, you know, they could actually pull this thing out. So when Rochester took that big lead and they started sitting people, you know, you knew Rochester was going to win that second game, but when they took that big jump, again, you were starting to wonder. and a goal, 3 goals in a minute 15. Even with 58 seconds left, Calgary still mounted offenses. To me, it was a cliffhanger right until the end. And kudos to Rocco for calling this exactly the way it was, because he did it beforehand. He did it last week. He did it on the show that we did together at the Stock. And he called this dead down the middle exactly the way it happened. So kudos to you, Rook. Way to go, Rocco.
Rocco, can you say something now, or is all the oxygen in your upper extremity?
Yeah. The head just exploded completely, from all that, the pump up there. No, I mean, what Gary was saying, when it was 10-9 going into that fourth quarter, you still had, Rochester fans were still sitting there thinking, okay, we got to do something. We got to get a little bit more space here. We got to get some breathing room here. And they reeled off four in a row within the first 5 minutes. Within the first 5:14, from 105 to 5:14, so in 4 minutes and 9 seconds, they scored four goals. And that gave them that 14-9 lead. Calgary came back and scored the goal, and you would think, okay, they might go on a run. And this is where I said before, Calgary scores one goal, you got to stop them at that. You can't let them get two and then maybe a third goal to get on that run like they did at the end of the third quarter. And Rochester did that. They came right back and notched in the next two and then just shut it down from that point on, but still keeping pressure. They didn't score the last 5.5 minutes, but they kept the pressure on Calgary the whole entire time. And then in the minigame, Calgary opens up with two quick goals, but then you started seeing them slow down a bit. You could see they were getting worn down. And Rochester just doing what they did. And real quick, I talked to the commissioner on this, because I interviewed him at the Stock Exchange and everything, and asked him how come there isn't a 5-minute break in between the game and the 10-minute mini game. He said they were only allotted 3 hours total of TV time. That's why they had to rush to give the MVP award to Dan Dawson and then present the cup. Because if you notice, as soon as they presented the cup, 20 seconds later, they were off the air. They were allotted 3 hours. And they said it's probably going to be like that until they get some kind of substantial TV contract where they're not limited on the time, on a three-hour limit.
That kind of stuff is not unusual. I mean, we've seen sporting events where they've gone away from the game, never mind the awarding of the cup or the players' trophies. We've seen that happen.
Let's make it interesting if it went to overtime.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I was going to say. What would have happened if that mini game would have gone into overtime? They would have just cut right on out, and you would have had a bunch of people watching it from who knows where, highly upset, and that wouldn't have looked good for the league.
No, but it didn't happen. So
it didn't.
Don't bring on attention that isn't necessary. Like that to me is I get what you're saying, and that's something to think about for tomorrow. Just like that bad call they made that they realized that it's got to be reviewable, give them a chance to work on it. Nothing bad happened, no harm, no foul. In this case. But I get your point, I don't think that there's a problem, and it sounds to me like when you spoke to the commissioner that he understood the problem, and he is working on, I think he knows he dodged a bullet. I think he knows the league dodged a bullet.
Yeah,
which
and
is
he's
great,
hoping
that they dodged the bullet.
Yeah, he's hoping that they can get some kind of a TV contract locked in where there's not a three-hour limit or what have you. But he said there was an unbelievable response in the 10-minute minigame. The people at Calgary, he said, were unbelievable there because there were a few Rochester fans there as well. We talked for a good 10 to 12 minutes, on the whole entire season and the playoff doings and what could be looked at in the years ahead with this. And he said, calling it a mini game, a 10-minute game or what have you, he goes, we need to think up of another name for it instead of a mini game.
I got you.
And I don't know what he's
but you have to remember this, guys. You have to remember this, that the league is making moves beyond the mini game. It'll probably be a best of three next year. If they, it may work out to being a best of three next year. Remember, this is when I spoke to the commissioner, this business of, two games and a mini game This isn't in stone. You know, they're hoping to advance and actually bring down even into the earlier series, you know, these multiple games as opposed to this one-off that's been going on over the years. Which isn't
I'm actually liking this. You know, I didn't think I would, but I'm actually liking the mini game because there's a lot of drama to it and a lot of strategy, like I'd said earlier. So I'm actually liking that. But if we can tinker with it a little bit, you know, not having made minor penalties carry over and things like that, that would be terrific.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I would have liked to have seen them get a little more of a rest than 2 minutes, you know, let them kind of recoup, get another game plan going on or what have you. But as long as there's this TV thing, or non-TV thing, I should say, going on, and this is like a league that is on the back burner to the World Series of Poker on ESPN that gets shown over and over and over again, or bass fishing.
There you go.
That's what's going to happen.
Premier Darts, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, why do you need to show another episode of, 30 on 30 or, you know, what have you? You know,
well, up
you
next,
got a chance.
We have the Cirque du Soleil. We hope you'll tune in. I'm kidding. Okay, guys, listen, you're more than welcome to hang around. I don't know, Gary, you in the mood to talk football?
I only have a little bit of time, Frank. I've got a real early start at work.
No worries. If you got to go, you got to go. Aaron, we're going to talk football in a few minutes, so you're welcome to hang around if you feel like it. And I wanted to say before we moved on to the football, I wanted to say very quickly, I'm going to give you a minute. Are you ready, Rocco? You got a minute.
Yes.
No more than a minute. The Blue Jays.
Oh, my team. My baseball team.
Yeah, the guy from Philadelphia is a Blue Jay fan. How about those Blue Jays?
Oh, I love it.
Should come up and join me Sunday when I go to the game there, Rocco. Get your Reyes bobblehead.
Oh, are you serious?
Serious.
Snag me one. Try.
I'll see
somehow.
What I can do.
Somehow, some way. I mean, cause when we were in Oshawa, I had the privilege of going to the Blue Jays game when they played Seattle. And a couple weeks ago, I took my daughter to see them when they played the Phillies.
There you go.
They've been my team since they got in the league.
Okay, thanks, guys. Got to go. Got to talk football now. Rocco, as I said, you're welcome to hang around. I know you're not very knowledgeable with the CFL, but if you want to hang around and have some questions, you're more than welcome to ask. Hit the hay. Do whatever it is you have to do. Aaron, you're welcome, too. If you guys aren't here, I appreciate your contribution, and we'll see how things go with lacrosse over the summer.
All right.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
guys.
A lot, Frank.
Really appreciate it. Okay, we're gonna go to we're gonna do an interview here. I got an interview we'll play. I got a couple we could do, so we'll do one of them anyway, as a bridge between lacrosse and football. It was a lot of fun, I got to tell you. The season was a great season, and the Blue Jays are doing awesome. It's incredible what they're doing, and they deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing. And you know, it is what it is. Of course. Now, for those of you that are either aware or not aware, that the last time we spoke, Chad Cackert retired, which opened some opportunities. And when we come back, we'll open the phones for all our football friends right after this. The Argos lost Chad Cackert to retirement. He is now their strength and conditioning coach. And I guess if you listen to what the team said, he is their spiritual leader as well, apparently.
I think camp's going well. I mean, I think the rookies that came in are matching up with the vets and just on the same page. I think practice is starting to look really good. The biggest reason came down here was just for the competition. I think that's the best thing about a running back room is that any given chance, you always have these guys that are ready to run.
A spot is always up for takes, but no, we got a group of guys that's really good, and any of us can be the number one back. So. You just got to come out here, put your head down, and just do what the coaches ask you to do. Do a little bit more, and just be crisp out there.
I mean, we got a good relationship within each other, you know, all of us. You know, we always helping each other out. You know, them guys got experience on the NFL level, and in the system that's kind of similar to ours, you know. So we just interact with each other, you know. If we got any questions, we just talk among ourselves, you know, and just figure it out.
We all have an understanding that we are all gunning for one spot, but at the end of the day, you know, we're not going to be at each other's necks. We're not going to be hating on one another. We're not going to do anything because that's not going to help any of us at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think they're all kind of in a similar mold. I mean, the thing, you know, that I've talked to Jim about and what I'm looking for is a guy that can make people miss in space and can make big plays. It's very hard in our league to go 80, 100 yards without any sort of big play. And that's the hard thing about our tailback is we want a guy that can make a miss and isn't great in the open field, but he still has to have enough courage and enough strength to be a great protector for Ricky. So those guys can be hard to find.
It's very important. As a matter of fact, it's our number one job. You know, we got to protect Ricky. We got to be, can't be afraid. He still got nose up in there and stay strong up in the pocket, you know, cause, so he can just get the ball out there quick and do what he does best, you know. He led us in the league last year, and he's pretty good at that. So we got to protect him first.
The game's coming to me each day. I'm starting to get better, slowing down for me a bit more. So I'm just trying to get better each day. You know, the focus is still the same. I think anytime you come to camp, you want to make sure you're the best. You're always trying to compete. But, you know, with
Alberto
announcing his retirement, you know, the competition's fierce here. We're all making plays out there. We're all trying to compete, make each other better. And, you know, whoever steps up, I feel, will have a really good running back position this year for the Argos.
There you go. The Argos are here. Okay, my lacrosse boys have all left. And that's okay, because we've got Serge in here. Serge. Duvletien.
Not even one. Jeez.
What?
All right.
Not even
well,
one.
No, you know.
They're tired, man. All that exciting.
You know, learn.
Yeah, it's
learn
all right. It's all right. If I don't, if I stop doing lacrosse, Aaron will show up for the football.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And also with us, of course, is Mike Townsend. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi. What's up, Frank? I'm currently broadcasting live from the Giant Center Stadium in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Final score.
Cool.
Trenton Freed on 57. Harrisburg 49.
Wow.
There you go.
Yep.
Also with us, my eye hurts.
Storm.
Storm Schmidt.
That's right.
Wait a second. I think Aaron is hanging around. So, Stormy, how are things up there in Edmonton?
A little bit cool, but getting better, but waiting for tomorrow.
Is it going to be warmer tomorrow?
No, I'm talking about the football.
Oh, the football. So are you going to, do you guys have an open practice there?
I live in Edmonton, remember?
Yeah, that's, as Edmonton, are you going to the practice, you're not going to go to the practice to see Edmonton?
Oh my God, Jesus, really?
Just
no.
Like that. No, no.
Okay.
What game are you referring to?
I'm Stamps all the way.
No, but what game are you referring to?
The game, the strike could notice for tomorrow.
What, you think they're going to be on strike?
I think so, yes. I really do.
It is tomorrow,
I don't think they're going to go on strike. But that's neither here or there. Aaron, 95%
already, the 7 of the 9 teams, 95% are going to vote strike.
98, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm still here, Frank.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. So I lied. One rock guy stayed. And I made the crack that if there were no rock
guys,
if we didn't do any lacrosse, Aaron would be here for the football.
Woo-hoo, yay.
Well, it should just be football though, right? But that's,
yeah, no, we're just talking, we're just gonna talk football, and unfortunately we do have to talk about the strike once in a while. Only because it's a factor, and that's the way it goes. Now Christopher can't be here. He's going out to dinner with his family, and All the best to him when he does, you know, go to dinner with his family. We're glad to hear that he's having a good time with his folks. All right, so now here it is on the cusp of some who believe that there's going to be a strike. But what, can we talk about the football part of the game? Now, Serge, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about the Owls. There was a one-minute interview done, and I want you to comment on this because you weren't here for this interview, and I want you to listen
to
this interview. Chad Johnson,
not Rusty. Rusty was in Vero Beach.
Yeah.
Now that was Rusty. You know, the time I've had off, I got myself together, so I'm coming here, hitting the ground rolling. Am I where I want to be? No, I'm not going to lie, but I have a long way to go. But I'm not Rusty. A little different than I did in Florida because I hadn't done anything in so long. So you know, I prepared for, you know, being able to be here. So it felt like a sort of an exhale, being able to be a part of a union, a whole organization, a team, and the camaraderie. You know, it's like finally, cool. Now I'm in full tilt.
Yeah.
Full tilt ahead. You know, McDonald's 2-3 times a day, and you know, I run like a gazelle. The speed is exactly the same as the same thing I've dealt with the past 12 years in NFL. There's really no difference. from anybody, and especially the competition level, it's been an eye-opener, not only at minicamp, but coming out here today. It's an eye-opener again. The level of competition is really no different, including the speed of the game. So this is nothing to take as a joke. With me being on both sides of the fences now, this is the real deal up here as well.
So, Serge, is he for real? Is this really?
I mean, for all we're really expecting out of him, it's unbelievable the attention this guy's getting. I mean, we are not expecting this guy to, you know, score 15 touchdowns and, you know, get 2,000. I mean, our expectations are pretty, you know, modest. But, man, you know, it's he'll be fine. He'll be okay. But we're not, you know, we're not expecting the biggest things out of him. We're just expecting, you know, like, I don't know what Mike said, or it was like, if he has 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, he's done his job. But so much, oh, my God, you know, it's like, I don't know. I think we're making too much out of, you know.
Do you think that he will, let's say, play in game one and catch 2 or 3 passes, you know,
depends.
At least a couple,
I mean,
right?
It's up to the coach, obviously, you know, he's got a...
And if he's
got
open.
A pretty, I mean, you know, the real question will be, okay, assuming there's no strike, would he play in the first game, or will they wait till the second? I mean, will he get to play 2 preseason games to show himself or not? Will we only get 1? So I would assume that he would play 2 games because he has something sort of to prove, to show. But that would probably be the indication as to whether we'll see him in game 1 or not.
I think we'll see him in game 1. I think we'll see him in game 1, and that'll make a lot of It'll make a big impression on the coaching staff to see him in, you know, in game shape, if you will, and in game situation. It will be something that will be, I think, they will discern early rather than later. If he does well in that game, he won't play the second game. Though he may play 2 if they're not sure after the first game.
The first game is in Calgary, so on the road, so Calgary fans will have I'd expect him, the next 2 games are at home, and I would expect him to be ready or playing for that first home game July 4th. So I think they'll prepare him for that. They're preparing him for that first home game where they hope to, you know, maybe not sell out, but at least get a good crowd for the home opener. So
will it be a stormy reception in Calgary, Mr. Schmidt?
That was a good one.
I have the odd one.
I don't even have an answer for that one, actually.
How do you think
my second favorite team is Montreal. So, yeah, it's Calgary. They're different fans, just like every fans in the whole league. Saskatchewan, I think, is the worst, but that's just my opinion. But I've heard that a lot about other stadiums and stuff like that, but you know you have to take the first 5 games and play it by there and see where it goes from there. And I don't make no judgment after 1, 2 games, 3 games. You just, people have to feel each other out and go from there.
Aaron, do you think what do you think of an NFL star like Ocho Cinco in the CFL? Oh, Aaron just disappeared.
Aaron just disappeared.
Don't worry. We'll go to Mike. We'll go to Mike. Mike, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm still here, Frank.
Okay, I called you. Sometimes you'll find
that
the sound is better. The sound is better when I call you as opposed to when you call me. You may find the connection's a little stronger. I don't know why, but it just is. We're just talking about Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, and whether he'll play in the first game. Serge isn't so sure he'll play in both games, but the question is, I guess. And I said, you know, they'll play him probably in the first game just to see where he's at. And it'll be on the road in Calgary. Calgary isn't a very friendly place, especially against stars of the other team. And Johnson would really get tested in Calgary. They've got a fair defense. What do you think?
To be honest with you, I think they have to play him. Because if you don't play him in the preseason games, you don't want to wait till the season starts, then play him, and he's not putting up the numbers that you expect him to be. I mean, You got to test him out, see where he's at. Because if he's not, you can cut ties, move on, and bring the younger guys up, especially your draft picks and guys that you have in your practice roster that's waiting for a chance to play. So they got to play him, and he should play.
And it won't
be a surprise
that
any other CFL player.
And it won't be a surprise that he plays.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if he does play, all I got to say is, Them defensive backs in Calgary, they better watch out. If they want to try to put a big hit on him, you better get off of him 5-6 yards and then set him up. But if not, if you're going to play him one-on-one, he's going to burn you. He's going to burn you. I mean, big time. And I know people was talking about getting hit from, like Chris was saying last week, getting hit from the defensive backs in the CFL. You got to remember, man, this guy done got hit by what's the guy from Baltimore, man, they used to play? I can think Ray Lewis. I mean, he done went against some of the top defensive backs in the NFL. So getting hit by a CFL corner won't be no different. Or get hit by a linebacker in the CFL won't be no different.
So, I agree with you.
Yep, I don't buy that for not 1 minute. But you're playing one-on-one, he's going to burn you. And it's going to be a long night for the opposing team.
Now, also to be considered is that they have a lot of receivers that are, to say the word, exquisite. I don't know if that's a football term, but Montreal has a lot of great young receivers. And, you know, with Smith throwing the ball, do we believe that he is their number one quarterback? Can I ask Serge? Serge, is Smith their number one quarterback?
Without question. That's right? Not even. I don't think that's going to be an issue. Well, we'll see in preseason, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, there is an issue with Jamel Richardson, though, who's injured again.
He's back home.
So that just may have opened the spot for Ocho Cinco right there.
I need to go ahead. I'm doing it.
At least during the warm up. I agree with Smith.
He's got the strongest arm in the whole CFL, and he'll do good.
Yeah, he's a quality quarterback. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say is I agree with him. Hands down, man, Smith is going to be the number one starter over in Montreal. He has nothing to worry about because the guy that they had, was it Tanner Marsh and I can't think of the other guy's name. If they were any good, they had their chance last year to prove that they can be the starter and did neither one of them. Wiesnander, I think his name was.
Wiesnander.
I don't know if he's still with the team because he was a free agent.
Hang on, I was
going to
check that out. I was going to check that out.
But they got a couple of new guys, so there's a lot of...
Still a strange name, but, yeah, I don't know if he's still there or not.
But you know what? If he is there, him and Tanner Marsh, they had all of last year to prove that they could be one of the starters in Montreal, and they didn't. So, I mean, you hand the keys to the guy that got you to where you was at last year. Now, that's Troy Smith. Give him the keys,
that's right.
And drive the bus.
That's right. I think it's his job to lose.
Yep, it's his job to lose.
I agree with Serge. It's
and see, Frank, I'm explaining something to y'all about Montreal, man. Montreal really is in a very, I'm not going to say good position, I'm going to say great position for the simple fact when they signed Troy Smith, it's not like they just signed some guy that hasn't played quarterback in the NFL. This guy has played quarterback in the NFL, won a couple of games, but he was backing up Joe Flacco. So, therefore...
Yes.
You bring him to the CFL, he had Deron Carter, Jamel Richardson, S.J. Green, Brandon London, Chad Ochocinco, and then they got Sticky Dave Stoller still over there, and, you know, a wily veteran in the CFL. They are receiver deep, and just think of the receiver packages that they can put out there on different plays. I mean, man, they're deep any which way it go. For opposing defenses, man, especially when you can put Deron Carter and Chad out there one series, S.J. and Deron, Dave Staley and Chad Ochocinco go online. You know, I mean, come on, man. They loaded. Actually, if they don't go to the Grey Cup, I'm surprised.
while there is Hamilton to concern yourself with. Now, to answer the question, along with Smith, and we all know Tanner Marsh from last year, there's also Alex Brink and Colin Klein were bought in. So, you know, they've got at least four quarterbacks in camp. I think we all realize that, you know, it probably is going to be Smith that'll be the guy that'll come out of it. And so Montreal, I don't think the problem with them is going to be as much, how can I put this, as much about the quarterback being that good, because they're going to have the defense that they had last year, even though the Argos picked up one of their key linebackers. But then again, Montreal had a couple of guys in the depth chart that could step right in, Serge. You know, it's not like they miss what they lost last year.
No, I'm not worried about the defense with Noel Thorpe. And what will be interesting to see is, I'm not worried about the offense either. It'll be the special teams, because Tom Higgins has taken upon himself to be the special teams coach. So that's an aspect that'll be interesting to see how it goes. Sean White's team, so that'll be interesting.
Exactly. I really don't think their problem's going to be on offense or defense, because I happen to think that they've got some magicians out that can receive, and as far as I'm concerned, their defense is going to be as strong as it was last year, and it had to work a lot harder that last year. It's not going to have to work as hard this year as it did last, Mike.
Nope. They're not going to work as hard. They don't have to.
Right, because they're going to have an offense now. Something they had zero of last year.
Yep.
At least it was close to zero. Anyway, I shouldn't say that's pretty not kind to say that. But relatively speaking, there wasn't much confidence in their offense. And as a fan, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Frank. You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say if Storm wanted to add something the Alouettes are his second favorite team.
Well, yeah, that's my second favorite team, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be in first or second or third or fourth or fifth or whatever sort of thing as it happens. But, I guess it's not fifth anymore. But I told you the other night, Frank, Ottawa's going to finish first.
Yeah, I know, and I'm just wondering. Stormy, I'm just wondering because, like, you know, I might have to. Honey, would you get me some wine, please? Because I want to feel like Storm does.
Hold on, Frank. Tell me to send me some through the phone, man. I need some too.
Ottawa in first. I love Ottawa.
Well, you know what?
Ottawa
sometimes
State.
You get a gut feeling and it comes through.
I doubt it because, quite frankly, Montreal is.
Henry
as Burris, strong.
I think, is still one of the best quarterbacks in the whole league, plain and simple.
That being said, I don't think anybody here is going to deny that. Anybody who isn't here isn't going to deny that. In this group, anyway, Burris is one of our favorite quarterbacks when we talk as a group. Right, Mike? Isn't that a fair statement?
Very fair statement. Very fair. But I'm like, wow. Ottawa is going to finish first. I'm going to hold you to that one, Stormy.
Stormy, you got Hamilton you're going to have to finish in front of. You know, finishing in front of Montreal, I'm worried as an Argo fan.
I'm not worried about the Argos, sir.
No,
they're do good.
I have a right to be since I care about what happens to the Argos at this point.
You weren't an Argo fan anymore, Candid.
I was just kidding. Yeah, just pulling your leg. To be honest, my heart is broken with the. I have this horrible feeling that too many Argo fans are afraid of this season that's coming up. I mean, people who say a lot and are very supportive of the Argos, there was a post out there. I posted that, every year, or at least it appears to be every year, a busload of Argo fans go to the Hamilton home, which last year was Guelph, the year before I Never Win Stadium. Well, actually, there wasn't one the year before. And they go to the game in a busload to support their team. We can't put together 40 people to go support their team in a brand new stadium. You know? I don't think it's as much. Which is it? This is a question I ask myself, and I've lost some sleep thinking about it. Is it because Argo fans think that this is the year where they're not going to be too good and they're afraid to go to Hamilton and be there to witness the Argos get their asses kicked?
I don't know. Ricky Ray, I just don't trust him. He's so good. And I hate to admit that because ex-Edmonton fan,
or ex-Edmonton player. I mean, I don't trust him. He's too good.
Yeah, and
he's just too good.
Or is it just Argo fans are just not in the mood to support
Toronto
their
period,
team?
Maybe. Well, maybe.
Well, you know,
period.
That worries me. And Serge, if you look at the post that I made, not a single Argo fan said, "Oh, when is it? I'll think about going." Not one.
I didn't even see the post.
Yeah.
Not even one.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
I can't tell you, buddy. I'm not expecting
30 people to put like or comment. But the thing is, not even one, you know. There were more comments by people who aren't Argo fans. And I think there were only comments from I just think that I'm starting to think that the people who think the least of the Argos and their success this year are Argo fans as a whole.
Well, not everyone's jumping the Blue Jays bandwagon. They just won again, by the way, 3-1 tonight.
It's incredible. It's scary, isn't it, the way they're winning? No, I just think it has more to do with the fact that Hamilton is so strong, and you know, the publicity that's coming out of Montreal, and the lackluster activity that took place with the Argos, the waiting for the MLSE to purchase the team. It's like everybody's in limbo, you know? It's like I just don't feel the excitement of the Argos this year.
I've never liked the Argos anyway, so it doesn't bother me either way.
No,
but
I
don't think Hamilton's going to finish first, so I'll tell you that right now. It's not going to happen.
You already said who's going to finish first. You said
Ottawa.
You said Ottawa.
And you remember that.
Oh, hey, I'll be glad to remember that. Just don't forget it.
And I haven't
I'll
gone.
Remember,
I haven't gone any.
Forget.
I haven't gone any further than Manitoba. So it's not like I hate the East or anything like that. I just, you know, just go with my gut feeling.
I truly believe that that it's going to be a battle between Montreal and of course Hamilton at the beginning of the season. It is my hope that Mr. Barker will do what needs to be done as the season progresses, and this will be another season for me, like 2012, where the Argos, if they accomplish anything, will come out of nowhere. And they're going to have to, because the shadow that's cast by Montreal and Hamilton is immense. I mean, look at Hamilton. They look like they're building a team like Saskatchewan did last year.
I don't care about Saskatchewan either, but anyways, I know what you mean, though.
You know, I mean, Serge,
I'm not worried about the Argos. Can I reassure you?
Is anybody worried about the Calgary Stampeders?
Nope.
Well, I'm worried that they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're in the same boat as the Argos.
Oh, I'm never worried.
Oh, my God. Like, you're saying that they're not better than Winnipeg? Come on now.
Look, the thing about it is with Calgary, man, has taken a step back when they got rid of Kevin Glenn as far as their starting quarterback. If Glenn would have been in Calgary this year, hands down, he would be the starting quarterback. And
those two quarterbacks, I'm sketchy on those, right?
And that's the point.
Frank know this. I tell everybody.
We still got John Cornish, though.
I'm not a Drew Tate fan. I'm not a Drew
Tate
fan. Never will be. Never have.
You should exchange phone numbers.
now, the only chance that Calgary
Drew
had.
Tate fan either myself.
the only chance Calgary had to even competing this year was Adrian McPherson, because they were going to give him the ball in training camp. It would have been a quarterback controversy.
Yep.
And Adrian McPherson would have came out the starting quarterback, but now that he's injured and can't compete, they're going to have to rely on Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yeah,
How do you feel about him as a Calgary fan, Stormy? Isn't Bo Levi Mitchell the better quarterback?
It's Storm, it's not Stormy.
Okay, Storm.
He said that the other night, too.
Okay, sorry.
Anyways, that's besides the point.
Yeah, we give you nicknames on the show, Storm. It ain't nothing personal.
I think Mitchell will give Tate a good run for his money.
I think he's a better quarterback.
I think so, too.
Tate is a better quarterback if he can be healthy, and that's where he loses. He's a better quarterback if he's healthy, but I think Mitchell has more chance of being healthy than Tate, and that makes him better in my book.
I think you have to give no matter how much I don't like saying this, but you have to give you got to give Tate a couple games and see if his body is ready to put up with what he had. He had freak injuries, right, and stuff like that, whatever sort of thing. But you got to give him a chance, even though I don't really care for the guy. But
what's the word as a Calgary fan? What's the word with those two? Tell us what you're hearing as a Calgary fan as far as those two quarterbacks are concerned. From your perspective and what up close.
They're basically, it's more Tate.
And Bo Leibold's a step behind him.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm, yes.
Well, good. I mean, you're right there. You're right. That's your team. And you should know better than any of us what the situation is. And when they brought in McPherson, in your mind and in Calgary fans' minds, those like you that are following real close, do you think that he was going to be the designated number one?
McPherson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have got rid of Tate and brought in McPherson and Bo Levi Mitchell. That's my opinion, though.
But did they bring, do you feel as a Calgary fan and a guy close to the team, following what they're doing, do you think they brought him with the intention, McPherson, to be the number one quarterback because of injuries to Tate and not being sure of Bo Levi Mitchell?
That's a good question. That's a really good question, but I think you're right, yes.
Okay, so in essence, what they did, they brought him in when they lost Glenn. You know, they brought him when they lost Glenn. And Mike, wouldn't he have been, if he was healthy, the perfect quarterback replacing Glenn for that team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He would have been a perfect quarterback. And actually, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put it out there, I wasn't going to say anything, but because I don't, you know, I have my sources as well as everybody else. When Adrian McPherson went down, man, it was rumored that they was going to bring my quarterback over to Calgary. You know who my quarterback is, Frank? B.J. Hall.
And
but
do you
BJ,
think they're...
He was playing for Tampa Bay, then the New Orleans Voodoo traded for him and made him hit a starting quarterback down in New Orleans now, so he's set.
Yeah, and he has no intention of going anywhere.
Nope.
Even for a first-string job?
Maybe when the season's over with, because they only got a couple more months, right? A couple more games and playoffs, then Arena Bowl. So maybe BJ get that call to go up after this season is done.
Which is about a month away, I guess?
About a month away. Yep.
Yeah.
About a month.
Which is basically a mere couple of games into the season with the CFL.
Yes, sir.
So there's a good chance that that'll be the case. It'll all be fine. I have to say that there's a lot of stuff going on in the CFL right now, and you know where's Travis Lule on the road to recovery? Well, from what I understand, Travis Lule, if we can move over to another quarterback whose team relies on him, but not as much, of course, as Calgary and Glenn's new team. He's looking like he might be coming around, but it really is going to be Kevin Glenn's team. Will Kevin Glenn be able to pick up real quick the schemes that the BC Lions have, the offense?
Yes.
Why do you say yes?
Because he's experienced. He knows what he's doing.
All right. How about you, Mike? Did I lose you again, Mike?
What?
I guess we lost
Mike
again.
Mike, where are you?
It's
Mike,
okay.
Where are you?
Serge.
In overtime.
Serge, what do you think of Kevin Glenn moving to BC?
He'll be fine. He's like Mr. Everything. He's Mr. Everywhere. Wherever he goes, he gets it done. So he's going to get it done there, too. He may not be quite like
exactly.
Lule, but Lule has not really been, I don't know, top of the top either, so I don't think there's a big difference between the two. So, yeah, I think BC really, they hit the jackpot.
And
Calgary should have not got rid of Glenn, period.
Well, they had no choice.
It was, you know, it was, Well, they have to protect Mitchell. What are they going to do?
Well,
it's either
get rid
of Tate. Mitchell or one or the other was going to go.
Nobody
yeah,
wants
really,
Tate,
they,
Tate because he's...
No, they didn't protect Tate. They can only protect one guy. It's just Ottawa
yeah,
chose
we'll protect,
Glenn over
yeah,
Tate.
Well, I would have protected Glenn, but even though he's older, but whatever, but that's just my opinion.
The future, and that's it.
Well, you know, you bring in, when you, you know, Storm, when you bring in young guys, okay, there's young guys you bring
yeah.
in for in the future, right? But a lot of the times, the young guys that they bring in, they invest 3-4 years, you know, in the CFL. Quarterbacks normally are not starters for 3 or 4 years. They're in the depth chart. They work their way up the depth chart. And to give up on Bo Levi Mitchell and Tate at the same time and not decide which one they were going to keep, would have been dangerous for them. Would have been dangerous for them. And, you know, because they're, you know, with Glenn's age, the problem with being Glenn's age and Burris's age, and I hope they don't kill me if they ever run into me.
Rick Lee, whatever sort of thing, blah, 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 yes.
You never know when it's over for them physically. It happens
exactly,
suddenly
yeah.
a lot of times, right? You don't know it's over until it's over. It's not one of those
like,
things when they get to...
Look at Damon Allen, how old he was when he retired. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just never know, right?
No, you don't know when your body fails you, you know, because in football...
Calvillo last year.
Exactly.
You know, after all the years,
yeah.
all the yards, and boom,
right.
one play.
And it's over. And you know, as a team that Calgary is that, you know, they needed to make sure that they had a decent quarterback in the event that Glenn couldn't go. And, you know,
well,
believe me.
Now the pressure's on now, and we'll see what happens, right? So,
yeah, tomorrow is today
you know?
For Calgary, right?
and
tomorrow
that's,
is
and that's
today.
Again, that's a good thing, right, to see what happens. Like, it's who's going to win the position, but... I believe it's going to be Levi Mitchell.
Well, Bo Levi Mitchell is a great quarterback, and Calgary's fine, I think, tomorrow. But today's going to be the question for Calgary. This season's going to be tough, Storm. It's going to be tough because even though Tate may have a lot of talent and Levi Mitchell may have a lot of talent, neither of them have really had a year where they've, you know,
yes, exactly.
been a quarterback.
Exactly.
You know,
I
and
totally
that's the kind of
you.
Experience. That's
yep.
the kind of experience they lack. And that's why I'm saying
yep.
to you, and I don't mean to be, you know, because remember, I'm trying to talk honestly about my team, the Argos, and I'm speaking
yep.
honestly about yours. I feel the same way about the Stampeders as I feel about the Argos. They've got too many holes. They just don't have,
mm-hmm.
In my mind, they have too many holes. You know, that doesn't mean I'm not going to support the team. It doesn't mean I'm turning on the team. It just means I'm trying to be accepting of reality and go with the flow, if you will. So, yeah, it's going to
mm-hmm.
be a tough year for both Calgary and Toronto. You know, you've got teams like BC that are building like crazy. Saskatchewan, I think, still has the remnants and the ability to put together a really good team. And
I don't know about that, but, yeah,
well,
you have your opinion, no? You have your opinion.
Yeah. And the only reason I'm saying that, is quite frankly, there are only a couple of teams, you know, that can claim what they claim, and that is being the defending Grey Cup champions.
Yeah.
So that's worth something.
Yeah, how many teams win two Grey Cups in a row, right? I mean, it doesn't
not very often,
too often right?
Not very often, and
yeah.
besides, they're not playing at home this year. That's BC's
yeah,
job.
Exactly. BC's job, and next year is where? Next year is in
Winnipeg.
Hamilton?
Winnipeg.
And then
Winnipeg.
Probably next year after that it'll be in Ottawa.
Or
nope,
Hamilton.
They're about five. They got it in 5 years, something like that. From what I remember.
Well, they only do it 2 years ahead, don't they?
Yeah, 1 year. Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah.
So who knows what the third year is going to be, but it's going to be Ottawa. Guaranteed new stadium.
There's Hamilton.
Blah, blah, blah.
If you want to go by new stadiums, there's Hamilton. You know, there's Ottawa. There's plenty. I don't know how interested Edmonton is in having the Grey Cup. And the trend now seems to be that.
Isn't
2017 the 150th year anniversary for Canada or something like that? That's what they were
Ottawa.
Saying, and they wanted Ottawa
yeah.
to host the Grey Cup that year, and they were going to have a whole theme about that.
150th, did you say?
Yeah, 1967 was 100. That's
I wasn't even born yet. I was still in my mommy's tummy.
Well, good for
her. Thanks for letting us know that.
Good for her.
Nothing like being informed. Manasseh, just so you catch up to where we've been, we were talking about the quarterbacking situation in Calgary. You know, with McPherson going down, and it started with me mentioning that Calgary's going to be in tough to make the playoffs this year like the Argos because, quite
you
frankly...
Really think that, though?
Really yeah, I really do. I really do. The reason I say that, the only reason I'm saying it is
John Huffnagel, man, I tell you. Go ahead, sorry. I just wanted to mention that.
No, I'm just the reason I'm saying that is because as long as your best position is third, fourth ain't that far away. That's why I'm saying
yeah.
that. Like, you know, what if Winnipeg has a good year? What if, like you said, Ottawa has a good year? You picked Ottawa to finish first. You should be the first
yeah.
person to say to me, Frank, your team's screwed. You know what I mean? Because
well,
there's no way.
You know what? I want you to thank me if Ottawa comes in first place.
I won't thank you. I'll hate you.
Because
it'll probably mean the Argos won't make the playoffs.
But you know what I mean, though, right?
Yeah. No,
and,
absolutely.
And I told you BC would finish first, and then it was Calgary. And then it was, what did I say, BC, Calgary,
Saskatchewan,
or Saskatchewan, Edmonton, Winnipeg, or something like that.
Yeah.
But
you
I didn't pick my favorite team to finish first. So, I mean, I'm not, like, taking favors or anything. I'm just trying to look at the roster
No one's accusing you of that at all. So, Manasseh, the quarterbacking situation in Calgary. I'm of the feeling that if it doesn't get settled, it'll take them right out of the playoffs because I happen to think that Drew Willey's a good quarterback. And I do
mm-hmm.
believe that Edmonton's going to make a move up, and it's going to be a question of, you know, I think it was you that said that they were the best 5-13 team or 6-12 team in a long time, that being Edmonton?
Yeah, with Edmonton, yeah, definitely. But,
right? They have a couple of things go right, you know, and they end up 50-50. If they end up being a 9-9 team, you know, that could be tough
mm-hmm.
for Calgary.
And you could still win the Grey Cup, right? Remember I told you.
Oh, absolutely.
The Argos won
the Grey Cup. The Argos
right, so,
won the
so,
Grey Cup 9-9.
Stormy, let me ask you then. With
Storm.
Calgary, what was Storm, the biggest
it's not
issue?
Stormy.
Storm, sorry, my bad.
That's all right. I'll forgive you once or twice or three times.
Okay. So, in last year's West Final, what was Calgary's biggest issue against the Riders that you felt like was the reason why they lost the game?
I think it was just the jitters because of all the frickin' Saskatchewan fans, I think. When Saskatchewan comes to Calgary, it's almost like it's a home game for Saskatchewan, but that's almost like everywhere you go.
Right. But, I mean, on the field, like,
not
what
right,
did you
though,
see?
But, I mean, that's just the way it is. They pay for their ticket. They could cheer for whoever they want to.
But what on the field made the difference in your mind? Is that it, just the fans, or do you think there was something on the field that gave evidence that Saskatchewan was better?
I think it was just the fans. I'm thinking the fans. Calgary fans could be a little bit rude here and there and this and that, and they get disgruntled and we got the best record in the league, and then we just lose it to Saskatchewan. The Saskatchewan comes to town, they bring all the golfers over here, and blah 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 and blah blah blah. So, I think it's just the fans. I think it's really.
What do you
just
think,
Manasseh?
I don't think he said what you wanted to hear or what you expected to hear, and I'm sure you can educate us as far
well,
as how you feel.
I don't want to say the F word or the S word or the C word or anything like that.
No. Hey, listen, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion.
I just believe
Calgary,
it's the fans, plain and
okay.
simple.
For me, I'll answer the question. Is it okay if I answer it for him, Manasseh?
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, it's cool. I happen to think that the reason Saskatchewan beat Calgary is because of depth and their front line, and they got run over. And Cornish, as great a player as he is, really hasn't accomplished much when there's no game tomorrow if you lose.
No, he hasn't been that good.
And that's what I think was the difference. Manasseh, you have your take?
Yeah, I feel
true.
like You know, the defensive line just got pushed around last year by Saskatchewan, and I know they had a couple injuries in the middle with Corey Mace being out, and but they lost Cordero Law. He went to the NFL. And you look at their defensive line, I just
yes.
Mace may not
yeah,
be back
well.
At the beginning of the year, and they're still kind of questionable. Then you got your linebacking core that's kind of aging. Juwan Simpson's getting pretty old. You know, I don't know if they're going to have Keon Raymond play the outside linebacker because he just doesn't have the speed to play in the secondary like before. And I think your defense is what's ultimately going to do your team in. And until they address that, I don't see how they're going to improve going forward.
And they're going to need to improve, just like the Argos need to improve. You know, I
so
think
Frank,
that,
can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Where do you actually live?
In Toronto, in Mississauga, actually.
Okay, in Toronto. Okay.
Yeah, I was born in Toronto.
Oh,
okay. I was born about
I was just wondering because
stadium.
Like just get on all these sites there and stuff like that and blah 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 and all this CFL stuff and yeah, just wondering.
Nope, proud
to Toronto. I have nothing against
nope.
you. I love talking about the CFL because sometimes you can't talk to your girlfriend or your mistress or your wife or whatever sort of thing because they don't really give a schmidt.
that's 100% true. Okay, Manasseh.
See, I didn't swear.
Good boy. Good boy.
Awesome.
Good boy. So, Manasseh, is that what was wrong with Calgary? And do you think that the problem this year for them, and do you think that they will make the playoffs this year? Do you think they can finish as high as second?
I mean, for them, it comes down to Drew Tate. If Tate plays the whole season, not only will they be the best in the West, but they'll be the best team in the league with him. But if they have to go to Mitchell, I think they're just going to have too many up and downs, and he's going to have, you know, inconsistent performances, which is going to do the team in. So it all depends on Tate for me. If he's healthy, they're going to win the Grey Cup. If he's out, they'll be lucky to get in.
And if he plays half the season, they'll make the playoffs. If he plays less than half the season, if he's injured and out for a protracted period of time, does that hurt their playoff chances?
Yeah, absolutely.
In other words,
if he misses, if he's only there for like a quarter of the season, they're done. But if he's at least half the year, they'll have a good chance
of making the playoffs. But it won't be good enough to overcome either Saskatchewan or BC, whom at this point are the favorites in the West.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And then depending on how much improvement, does anybody here figure that, like me, that Edmonton's very close to making a move? That,
nope.
You know, they catch a break
nope.
here or there?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
Storm
doesn't
they
didn't
so.
Fix their offensive line. That was their main problem, and they didn't do anything to address it, you know?
Yeah, but there is something that fixes an offensive line like theirs. Youth does learn. And it is going to be a question because they have a towering offensive line. They're huge, probably the biggest in the CFL, if not close to. You know, if they mature, Manasseh, they could be something to worry about.
I mean, they're already pretty old. It's not like they're a bunch of young guys. Like, if they were a bunch of young guys, I'd be like, sure, you know, they just need to develop. But most of them are like late 20s, early 30s, so they're already pretty much who they're going to be, you know, at this point.
Okay. So basically Edmonton's not a threat. Winnipeg, not a threat? Anybody here think Winnipeg's a threat?
No.
Winnipeg will be a threat. It's just because, you know, everyone's saying that because they don't know the team. No, I mean, they're not the same team from last year. They made too many changes.
But then again, Bud, this is the CFL and anything can happen, right?
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's essentially what I'm asking. Is there something there? Have they done something? Is the coaching change? You know, because in Toronto, a big change was made when they won the Grey Cup, and that was the quarterback.
Yes, exactly.
That's a big change.
Yes, exactly.
I get it. I'm not going to con anybody into thinking that they, you know, but still, they did sneak up on people because nobody picked them to win the Grey Cup. Not even Argo fans picked them to win the Grey Cup.
Even
they might
but
say
I know
that
when
now.
I felt sorry for
their season last year. I felt sorry for them. I really did because I enjoy Winnipeg. I really do. But, you know, it's frustrating and it comes down to the fans too, right? You know, you pay good money and you buy your tickets and you want to see a good team come out there and play, right? They tried, but is it coaching? Is it the players? What is it?
Well, that's the point.
It started at the top with their general manager, Joe Mack, who was the main problem in the first place, and he had a lot of stupid moves he made. But to give you guys a little quick history lesson, 2010, the Bombers were 4-14, right? The very next year, 2011, they went 11-7, and they went to the Grey Cup. So, like you said, in the CFL, you can go from the absolute worst team to being in the Grey Cup the next year. It's not that difficult. And if you look what they did, they changed the coach, changed the general manager. They have a new CEO. They have a new starting quarterback. They added three new potential starters on their offensive line. They've got two new starters at receiver. They've got two more new starters on the defensive line. They're going to have a new middle linebacker and three new starters in their secondary. So their entire starting lineup is basically brand new. So they've made every change
you
could possibly make.
They had to do something, right?
Right, exactly. But, I mean, just contrast that to Edmonton, who basically is bringing pretty much the same team just with a different coach. But they didn't really do anything as far as on the field. They're bringing back the same guys. So I don't see how Edmonton's going to make that big of a jump.
Well,
Davis Reed was not
the coach for Edmonton, no. It was not the coach. Sorry, but wasn't the coach.
Well, he was a good enough coach in 2011, right? You remember what happened then, right? 11-7,
yeah,
they were tied for first. They beat Calgary in the playoffs. I don't know.
Well, it's all about sometimes, you know, it's luck in the CFL, right? There's a lot of luck in the CFL.
Is Frank gone? What's going on? Frank, you there?
Frank, you there? Come on, Frank. Probably getting another beer.
Passed out.
So Frank, who else is here? Is it just us two, or is anyone else?
I don't know.
I'm here.
Sounds like it's just me and you. What?
Was that someone
else?
Doesn't
want to talk to us.
Everything okay?
Hey.
Yeah,
you disappeared on us there for a second.
Well, no,
I thought you were putting on the Stampeder's jersey.
No, I'm not putting no Stampeder's jersey on. Holy crap. My goodness. Wonder where Kelly is today. It looked like he messaged me, but he didn't say to call. Oh, well. Nobody's heard, right?
Well, he posted something that Saskatchewan Regina has declared Pride Week next week or
Gay Pride Week. That's here in Toronto. So, okay, I thought you guys could have carried the conversation on your own. Quick vote. Does G-Roy Simon get, I don't know if we did it last, does G-Roy Simon get elected into the hall in the first ballot?
I think so.
Yep. Nase?
Yep.
Serge?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Serge is here. Great.
Yeah, Serge
is here. Who else is here?
And Mike is here, too. Mike, first ballot, he's in? Well, I think he's watching the football game again. He's gone again. I think he'll get in the first ballot. So will that kid from Montreal that retired last year. First ballot for him, too.
Who? Oh, what the heck's his name?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right, probably.
First ballot, too,
so,
for him.
So, Serge, have you you made it out to Iowa West training camp at all? You got to take a look at what they're doing?
Oh, no, I haven't been. I've been the last 5-6 years. I'm not, I don't know. I'm skipping this year, but, we'll see. We'll see when the strike goes tomorrow, what happens. If
that
there is a training camp.
Are you excited about the team, or is it what's...
No, it's just, it's about 2 hours away, and I just got lazy.
Okay.
A lot of friends of mine also haven't been or haven't gone, so it's kind of like, we're just waiting for a start, and
Serge,
we'll see everybody there.
Serge, isn't it fair that Montreal is usually a city that is a wait-and-see city? They require their team to play well to show up. Is that a hard...
No,
they're
a wait-and-see, but sometimes they're... I mean, we won back-to-back, and you know, people were already, like, jaded. So.
and abandoning the team.
Well, like the Argos last year. Like Toronto
fans
last year.
You know what? No, Toronto
is
a whole...
That was sad.
You know what? We can keep blaming everything and all kinds of stuff. But as I said to you at the beginning of the show, to not be able to muster 40 paying customers to hop in a bus to support their team on Labor Day in Hamilton, that worries me. That kind of reaction is scary to me. It appears to me the Argo fans are not going to show up other than the dedicated ones like me and John Granger and the odd few that already have season tickets.
It's a bit the curse of having won the cup at home. I mean, how do you top that? You know, it's like, I don't know. It's the same as Montreal winning back-to-back. How do you top that? It's like people already figured out that.
But don't you eventually have to ask the question, Serge? Do the people in this town care in Toronto or in Montreal too? Because you're in the same boat as us. Do we actually have enough people that care about the game?
Yeah, we have enough people. It's just. We got a core of about 20,000 fans in Montreal, and Toronto has a core of 15. If you don't have 40 people to go, that doesn't mean you have 40 people that are going to go to Argo games. You're still going to have at least 15,000 to 20,000 people a game this year. So, not worried.
Really?
It's just, I don't know. Maybe people are just, or you know, maybe they just don't want to go to Hamilton anymore.
It really concerns me. I'm trying to figure out the answer. Here's the situation, and guys, play along with me. Here it is, a new stadium, and then a historical event every year. The most desirable victory of the year, other than the Grey Cup, is a win at Labor Day in Hamilton or in Toronto between those two teams. And the other cities, the same thing. You've got Calgary and Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and Winnipeg. Montreal and Ottawa now is going to be that one. You know, and BC's alone without that partner as yet. And they can't get 40 fans to get in a bus and to support their team as a group.
Well,
I mean,
you're referring to the game in Guelph? Or?
No, I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about, listen to this very carefully, what I'm asking, because I want you to understand the question. The question is, The situation is brand new stadium, Tim Hortons Field. I got a guy, Roger. I got a guy, John Granger, who's willing to go to Winnipeg to go see a new stadium, and his team play an exhibition game in Winnipeg. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But he and the rest of the Argo fans, none of them are putting up any kind of noise about getting on a bus to go to a brand new stadium.
In a game against
Hamilton,
I think it may be too late, Frank, because I think they may have been sold out like a month ago. Like the Ticats are packaging the home opener and the Labor Day together.
No, you're missing.
And
you
I think
to,
that
you,
they may be sold out.
I'm going to correct you right now. There are more than 40 tickets being held aside. There's 250, if I'm not mistaken. 250 tickets being held aside for Argo fans by Hamilton. 250.
Wow.
Okay? And 40 tickets. I got a wonderful lady, Lori Bursey, who busts her behind. A friend of the Argonaut. We're going to go into overtime. And in 90 seconds, anybody that wants to be on the air has got 90 seconds to call or have me call them. So I just want you to know that. That's going to be just the rest
Frank,
of us.
I'm still on here. If you need, can you hear me?
Yeah. God willing, we don't lose you, because I don't know if you'll be able to call when we go into overtime. Hopefully you will, but I can't call. Once overtime goes, I lose the phone. I only pay for the phone for the 2 hours. But anyway, having said that, we're talking about an event at a new stadium in Hamilton. We're talking about revenge for Argo fans to go into Hamilton and kick their behind like they did ours in the Eastern Final. This is my thinking. And to get on a bus, not worry about driving, drink some beer, and have a great day at the football field. And they can't get 40 people. They can't get 40 people into a bus. We can't get 40 people into a bus to go to Hamilton. We did it last year to go to Guelph.
Do you go on ArgoFans.com? Do you ask them or?
Maybe maybe they just don't have the money for it. I'm guessing.
No.
Goodness.
Oh, you mean the fans?
To Toronto.
You're still missing the point, buddy.
The fans.
Yeah, Mitch, can Storm say a story here? 5 years ago, I'll make it quick. 5 years ago, I was living in Airdrie, just outside of Calgary, and they supplied a yellow bus, blah blah blah, take you down to McMahon Stadium. You got a burger and a beer and the ticket for $50. Well, who in the hell wouldn't do that? I did it. Had too much tequila on the bus, but whatever. I mean, it was good though. But you didn't have to drive. You know what I mean? But it was
that's
from Airdrie to Calgary, which is only. It's only 15 minutes away. I mean, like, holy. I don't understand it either.
And
the bus
packed,
actually.
So, Frank, you're telling me that John Granger doesn't want to go to that game. He's not going to the Labor Day Classic.
No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that I found out that we weren't going. I got an email from Lori Bursey. And she said, the bus trip to Hamilton has been canceled. I don't have enough people who are interested.
Yeah.
That's 40
so how much,
people.
How much is that going to cost per person, exactly? Like, how much are we talking about?
Maybe 125, maybe 150.
Is that included in that award?
Really?
No.
Yo.
Yeah, that's a little high, Frank. You know, maybe
no,
people are thinking they'd rather just stay home and watch it on TV.
I shouldn't have even said anything because I got to look at my bill from last year and I got to dig it up. But even I'm just saying to you what I'm trying to say to you is that you're getting the bus, you're getting the ticket, right?
Right.
Right.
You know, it's a bus ride there. You know. Maybe it was under $100. Maybe it was 80 and change. I don't remember, but. But it bothers me that's not going to happen this year when you consider there's a new stadium involved.
Right. That's a good point.
You know,
maybe
it's a new
don't
stadium.
Maybe they just don't want
to
see the team get whooped by the Tri-Cats again.
Bingo.
Frank,
That's reason number one. I happen to think that, and I was joking with Serge on the messaging him, saying, I don't know if I want to be an Argo fan anymore. Because if that's the reason.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
No, he took me serious because. The point I was
making.
It
didn't explain why. Okay, now I understand.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Now you understand? Okay.
Yeah.
Because if this is the kind of support that we're going to give our team, we don't deserve a team.
Oh, yeah,
if this is the way we're going to support our team, there's not 40 people who can afford, even if it was $150. But you can't find 40 people that don't want to sit together and cheer for their team behind their team's bench?
They don't care.
That scares me.
Yeah, they might end up wanting to do it once the season gets going. You know, maybe people feel like the strike and all that. Maybe people are just tuning out. But
yeah, well,
you know
what? Serge made another point. Serge made a point while you weren't here, and it might very well be Serge because the Blue Jays are doing so well, which is to the point we always tell you about Manasseh. Everybody's focused on what the Blue Jays are doing. Here in Toronto.
Really? I mean, but that's baseball, though. Baseball is like watching paint dry, man. That's the worst sport on the planet.
It's the worst
baseball
sport
and golf.
On the planet.
Like,
right,
next,
the
right next to each other.
But it says Toronto.
I didn't mean to laugh on the phone, man, but that was funny.
But it says
but buddy,
Toronto
you're not
on
getting,
their
you're not getting Frank. You're not getting Frank's position and what he's saying is, like, you know what? It's like, you know, support your team, plain and simple.
Right.
You're not drinking and driving. You're not drinking and driving. You're taking the bus. You got everything there. Look at what I said: $50 to go to a game from Airdrie to Calgary, 15 minutes away. I don't have to worry about drinking and
but
driving.
But is the ticket price included with the
yes.
bus ride?
Yes,
or the ticket
absolutely,
price?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if that was me, I'd take that. That's the seems
and
like
a burger
deal.
And a beer. I mean, the burger and a beer at the lounge that where they supported it from, and you're. Just like shit, I lived three blocks away and blah blah blah. I walked there and there, got on the bus and had too much tequila, but whatever. I mean, that's beside the point. But
the point
right.
is,
and
the point,
the tequila was even supplied the boot.
Wow,
but
how many minutes is it from Toronto to Hamilton? Like how long of a
half
drive?
Half an hour, 35 minutes,
yeah.
40 minutes.
That's
half
a
an
good
hour,
deal,
35
man.
Somewhere up in there.
Yeah.
It's not far at all, man. You could throw a rock in between the two cities.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
but
for
you
125,
don't have to try.
If you guys get decent seats, that's worth it. I mean, where are you guys sitting, though? That's probably the question, too. Maybe they don't want to sit there.
They're good seats, right behind the Argos.
Oh, wow. Lower
right
center.
Behind the center field, not the lower bowl, mid bowl. Because I only went to the Guelph one. The last time I went to one in Hamilton was, 20 years ago.
So you're talking about, like, the upper end of the lower bowl, 50-yard
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good seats, man. Those are great seats.
Yes, it is. That's great seats, man. But you know what? I think it's just Toronto just don't have the fan base. That's what it is.
No, but we had it last year. We had it
yeah.
last year. And we had it the last time they did it.
Because you're a defending champion.
I guess Flurry hit it on the head then. It must be the Blue Jays. That must be what it is. Because I was seeing you guys are getting like 35, 40,000 people at the Rogers Center going to Blue Jays games, and it's like, I don't see why. I don't know how people find baseball entertaining. I still don't understand it. But
can Stormy come into this conversation? You know what it is? It's because people jump off the bandwagon.
You just referred yourself in the third person?
People jump off the bandwagon. That's what they do.
There we go.
And they lose a game or they lose a playoff game or lose a Grey Cup game. And it's
there
like I never want to cheer for them again. But you know what? I'm a diehard Stamps fan, and I always will be.
And
right.
the problem
yeah,
here,
I mean,
and Manasseh, I tried to explain it to you, and John tried to explain it to you. We have so much going on here. If the Argos aren't playing really well, and let's say the Jays are on a run to finish first and maybe win a World Series. The Argos will disappear.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Wow.
I agree with that.
That bad,
yeah,
huh?
I agree with that.
It's amazing.
And
no, that was
Andre,
a great
I'll agree
game,
with that
too. Like the
East they haven't had a winning season in how long now?
The
Blue Jays?
Sorry, 20...
Yeah,
20
the Blue Jays.
Well, they haven't made the playoffs in 21 years.
1992.
They haven't made
the
playoffs in
21
years. Gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
But you know, it's the baseball's not like other sports.
But it's
you know,
Frank, let me finish here. The point is, you love your freaking team. You stay with him no matter what.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I'm
plain
with you
and
on
simple.
That.
That's it. But there's people out there that don't do that, and it's bullshit.
I want to remind you that I'm an Argo fan, and I like the Blue Jays too. Unlike Manasseh, I love baseball. I think baseball's a great game.
Have you ever watched a baseball game sober?
But you know what? Yes.
No, you didn't, did you?
Yes,
I
did. Manasseh.
I like the Expos myself, but they're not there anymore, so I sort of
they're
not
there
for Washington.
5 years.
The point is, Manasseh, if you're an Argo fan, okay, if you're a football fan, football season is 9 home games. We're talking 81 baseball home games. And we're talking about baseball being done by October, okay? So, you know,
right.
There's plenty of time to fit in the Argos, if you follow what I'm saying, because you don't have to go to every Blue Jay game. And going to 9 games a season, or 10 because of the exhibition game, 10 games a season.
Which is no problem. Yeah.
That's what I'm
right.
saying. But people are so undedicated to the Argos here, and I'm drinking the freaking Kool-Aid.
Well, you know what? You know what, Frank? I totally agree with you, and I'm peed off because of what happens in Calgary, because their fans, the Calgary fans are not too bad. Saskatchewan fans are the worst in the whole CFL, but anyway, that's a different story in itself. They just get so down, and it's like, oh, I'm never watching the game again after they just lose one. Like, really?
Yeah, but the thing is, what professional league is playing, all right, once hockey is over? Because hockey and Canadian football, there's not much overlap. The only overlap
yeah,
is
right.
when it really matters in the CFL, and when it doesn't matter, because we all know hockey doesn't matter till December, right?
Yeah.
And football's done. You know, the National Hockey League is irrelevant,
yeah.
even especially in North America, especially in the U.S., before January.
Yeah.
Because the early games don't really mean much. So, you know, football in Canada is not bad.
That's the reason why I'm glad we have over here, man, where we at south of the border, man, we have other football fixes, man. You know what I'm saying? Because if we didn't have the football fix that we have here with the Arena Indoor League, man, I'd be starving for some football, bro. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I would be starving, dude.
Listen, the CFL's a great league.
You know what, Frank? You know what, Frank? My dad had season tickets when they came from Atlanta Flames to the Calgary Flames back in 1981. And you know what? He had season tickets for like 15 years. And there was lineups after lineups after lineups just for people to buy season tickets, right? And then they hit a soft spot there in the 90s, and then they picked up again sort of thing, right? But you know what? If my team went 0-82, I'd still cheer for them every single game.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I feel the same
but,
way about
the
Argos.
Don't
like
have
I
the
said,
fans.
It's not
you
a large
the fans that the Argos is irrelevant to them. That's it, man. I mean, maybe when they move into their new stadium, maybe they might attract new fans because the seats might be closer.
I sure hope so.
They might attract their fan base.
I sure hope so.
A new stadium shouldn't have to attract new fans. If you're diehard about your team, you're diehard no matter if you have a new stadium or an old crappy stadium. Plain and simple.
Storm, have you seen the Rogers Center, man? Is Seton in the Rogers Center? You got a freaking track around the football field, bro. I mean, if you look at other stadiums, look how close the seats are to the field.
No, we don't have that.
Look at McMahon Stadium.
Mike,
they're one of the worst stadiums in the whole league.
Mike, you're confusing Montreal with Toronto.
McMahon is
Toronto
a good
does not have a
for the
Toronto
CFL.
Does not have
not
a track. Toronto does not have a track.
That's Montreal. Okay, my bad, Montreal.
That's Montreal, my friend. No. The problem with Toronto, people say the sight lines. There's something wrong with the sight lines. Well, I don't know what they mean by the sight lines. Serge might be able to speak to it. I can't. I just don't see. Like I went to the TFC game, and they said the sight line, you know, the sight lines there are good. Well, what I think people are talking about is the inclination of the stand so that you're not physically further away from the field like you are at the Sky Dome, the Rogers Center. You know, they're not on a severe angle, that means you're further away from the field, which means you're further away from the play.
Right. It's like Stadium. They have
the field far away from the stands.
The Rogers Center is like their seats are almost like horizontal, like they're in an angle where,
like
you know, you're
degrees.
Almost like it looks really like, weird. Like they made it for it's made for baseball, but you look at Montreal. Like Montreal's is like almost completely vertical to the point where they have guardrails in front of the people where they sit, so people don't fall.
And they have
like,
a track.
Serge, you know what I'm talking
track.
About, right? At Moulton.
Yeah, and the whole point of all these stadiums that are being built now, you know, in the Canadian Football League, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, like Winnipeg, severe angle. You know, and it puts the fans on top of the field, which is what creates that intimidation, that Seattle intimidation, you know, that Seattle-type atmosphere where, you know, the fans are literally leaning over the field, as opposed to the Argos and what they're playing in, which is, I guess, the description as a baseball field is fair, is not a severe angle. You know, it's like a 20-degree angle, as opposed to, let's say, a 45 or a 60.
Right. Like, you compare Ivor Wynne to the new Tim Hortons field, it looks, like, drastically different. Because Ivor Wynne wasn't that high of a stadium, but if you look at Tim Hortons now, it looks like it's like a 5- or 6-story building. It, like, shoots vertically, like, straight up.
Because of the angle of the stand.
Well,
yeah, the angle.
And then you look at McMahon Stadium, it faces north-south, right? Well,
right.
What happens in the north? The wind. So...
Yeah.
Obviously, they haven't designed it the way they should have, and they need a new stadium, plain and simple.
Sure they do. Everybody does.
I was hearing in Calgary that the Calgary Flames ownership group that owns the Stamps now, they're trying to do a thing where they want to build a new hockey arena and football stadium together in downtown.
Well, they wanted a dome there years ago and stuff. That's not going to happen. Just, you know what, but it's owned by the university. That's the problem.
The stadium?
Oh, yeah, McMahon Stadium, but no,
the team
is owned by the Calgary Flames now. And now,
no, but the
now you finally got an ownership group that actually has money and has cachet in the city.
Where they play is owned by the university.
But do they have a lease?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the stadium. I'm talking about the team.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the stadium, though.
But
yeah, the stadium
to make a
is
new
fine.
Stadium,
that's
to make the he said about
everybody
the new stadium.
Everybody that I talk to in Edmonton here, they say Calgary's got the worst stadium in all of the CFL.
Yeah, but that's, Edmonton would tell you they have the worst fans too. Storm, wouldn't you be offended by that?
Well, no, I agree.
Right?
I agree with that, that they have a bad stadium. Yes, I do agree with that though.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
think about
it,
Frank. By the year 2017, you look around the league. BC's got a new stadium. Edmonton renovated theirs. Saskatchewan's in a new one. Winnipeg's in a new one.
Absolutely.
Hamilton's in a new one. Toronto would be in the new BMO Field. Montreal already renovated, and Ottawa did. That would just leave Calgary sitting there playing in an 80-year-old stadium.
You know what, Manasseh? To answer your question and also take a little bit of a sidetrack, if I'm anybody, I want to build my stadium before Saskatchewan does, because once Saskatchewan builds their stadium, it's over.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what anybody builds after that, because nobody's
so
going to build anything that comes close to that. You know, nobody's going to build anything close to that. They will have the state-of-the-art stadium. If they're true to their pitchers and true to their design, you know, we're not talking CFL type stadium. This is going to compete with a lot of international stadiums. What they're building, they're planning on building. You know,
so, Storm, you seen the new Ryder Stadium that they're going to build?
The design.
As a Stamps fan, that has to burn just to see that.
Hey, it burns me, Manasseh. It burns me. Hey, listen, I'm a firm believer of give people credit when they deserve it. You know, just because I'm an Argo fan doesn't mean I can't celebrate the greatness that Saskatchewan's building when it comes to their stadium. I mean, they're going to build something that's going to make them very proud, and good for them. They deserve to be proud of that. When Edmonton makes their move and builds their stadium and does their thing, which they will do, it may not be to the same level as Saskatchewan, but I'm telling you, once Edmonton makes up their mind to do it, their football fans and their love of football is one of the best in Canada. I don't care what anybody said. I don't care.
It sucks for Calgary because, you know, they look out west in Vancouver and they got that beautiful BC place, and then Saskatchewan's going to have theirs, and Edmonton's already done some stuff, and it's like even Winnipeg and, you know.
Well, I wouldn't
Calgary's
say BC has
city.
A good place, though. My roommate was there for the Grey Cup, and she said that she waited an hour just to get in the washroom.
I guess they don't open all the washroom. I remember Christopher isn't here. And Christopher said that they open up the concession stands and open up the stadium according to how many people are in the stands. So the services are all relative to how many people are in the stands. And I would think, I would believe that probably the services as well are relative to how many people show up as well.
Right.
And isn't Calgary like a big-time city?
Calgary is
the Denver of Canada, right? It's like the same kind of, if you compare the two.
Well, the nickname is Cowtown.
Yep, Cowtown, yep.
That's their nickname.
But I mean, like, size-wise, it's a big city, though, right? Technically,
No, not numbers-wise. There are no big cities. There are no big cities in Canada other than Toronto and Montreal and B.C., The rest are rich. Calgary is a very rich place. Edmonton as well. Saskatchewan, Regina is a very rich place. But numbers-wise, I mean, Serge, help me out here. Numbers-wise, they don't have more than 2 million people in their city, right? Oh, you can look on Google and Google. Calgary and Edmonton. Calgary and Edmonton,
I think Edmonton, I think, is
1.5.
A million. And
Calgary. 1.5.
Yeah, that's not.
Oh, that's it. I thought Calgary had like 3 or 4 million people. I thought it was like
God
a huge
no,
city.
God no.
4 million for the whole province. That's what.
That's the province.
The whole province of Alberta's got
four million Edmonton,
people.
Edmonton and Calgary in there, both cities.
Wow. But I mean, when you see it on like TV, you know, when you see their downtown and they have that wide view of their city,
money. They got lots of money.
Lots of money, but not enough to build a new stadium, or no will to, apparently.
Apparently.
Hey, Frank, real quick, man. I didn't mean to break the conversation.
They don't want to build a new stadium.
I'm going to have to get off the radio because I got to take care of some business, but I want to make a quick announcement real quick, give me about 5 seconds.
Go ahead.
all you CFL is members, stay tuned for the trivia question that I'm going to put out there to win your very first Harrisburg Stampede indoor football T-shirt. I will send it to you, whoever wins it.
All right.
Nice.
All right.
So,
y'all guys have a good night, man, and I'm sorry I had to run, but I got to get back to work and duty call.
What do we have to do to win it? You didn't say what we have to do to win it.
The first person got to answer the trivia question. You get the trivia question right, and I throw up there, you win the T-shirt.
And when are you going to post the question?
I'm going to post the question here shortly, as soon as I hook up to my trailer and get all my stuff
situated.
Yeah,
well, wait till the show's over to give us a chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till the show's over. I'm going to post it, say, about 12:30 tonight.
Okay. Fair enough.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike, for joining us.
Yep. Hey, no problem. Hey, Mike. Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I just came back from the Harrisburg Stampede football game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Well, y'all guys have a good night, and I'll post a question at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time.
All right.
And if I'm alive or awake, I will answer the question.
All righty. Y'all have a good one.
Hopefully you're awake.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay, right, thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we have such a great league. I love the Canadian Football League, and I don't mean to sound like – I guess it sounds like I'm trying to force people to be fans. That's not my intention. But what is my intention is to try to understand – how it is that Canadian Football League fans determine their support for their team. I know here in Toronto we have a tough time because of the Jays and because of other teams. You know, when they do well, we're Toronto. We love our city, guys. You got to understand this. Wherever you come from, if you love your city, when your city starts to make noise in North America, which means we're including the U.S., and your team starts to be the best team in North America in a league that, you know, New York and Chicago and L.A. play in. It is a major draw that's a difficulty for, you know, the team here, the Argos, to get any kind of attention. Now, the Star's doing a good job here. The newspaper is putting a story or two in a day about the Argos, which I'm appreciative of. They're letting me know what's going on, reminding me of the team exists. Except now this strike thing isn't helping either. You know, I think it's driving people's interest into neutral.
The Blue Jays.
or neutral, you know, like nobody, you know, I'm not feeling the same excitement I felt last year, even, you know, after they won the Grey Cup and even after we realized people weren't coming back that much. And that's saying a lot.
I think that might be part of it, is the fact that people realized how, you know, no one really showed up last year, and, you know,
it's not cool to go.
People like going with the herd, right? The flow.
Yeah.
If they feel like everybody's getting behind it, then they want to get behind it. But when they feel like people don't care, that's what happens. They don't care.
But Manasseh, that's why I'm making noise. You know, I'm not saying that I'm any relevant person when it comes to the Argos or the CFL, but it just gets me that I get more like it's like the game's getting down to the last few minutes, and I feel like I can make a difference. And even if I can't, I'm still going to try. And because I love this game, and I happen to think the CFL is a great game, and we're fortunate to have it here in Toronto, it's a shame that we don't have. It's a shame we don't have the kind of response that I think is worthy, you know, of the CFL, that the CFL is worthy of. And I find that almost hurtful.
They'll regret it.
You know, yeah. I almost.
I mean,
feel
just
it's hurtful.
Look at your schedule.
It is hurtful.
The fans. If you look at the schedule, right, the Blue Jay season is going to be done by October, you know, we can all assume. And if you look at that, that's when Toronto plays Hamilton at home twice in 3 weeks. And
there
I think has a home game against Montreal as well. So they set up the schedule to have all the good games that people are going to want to see once, you know,
yeah,
the Blue Jays are dead. And that's when people are going to start
to aren't you guys getting my point, though, is if you're a CFL fan, you'd be a CFL fan first before any other team, like cheer for somebody that's in your heart. You could cheer for any team that's in your province or whatever sort of thing, but when it comes down to the nick and grind, it's like, you know what, you got to cheer for your team and
right.
and oh my God, it's so hard to explain.
Okay, so Storm, you're a fan of the Calgary Flames, right? You like the Flames as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So let's say the Flames are playing in the Stanley Cup, and
yeah.
Game 7, and that's the same time as the opening game for the Calgary Stampeders. Now, which game are you
going
to tune into?
That won't happen, though. That won't happen, though. But I'd
pick
football over
hypothetically.
I'd pick football over hockey.
Oh, that's amazing. See, you're probably the only person in Canada that would say that. Right? Almost everybody else.
No, I'm not the only person that would say that.
Considering what the price of the tickets would be for a game.
There you go.
Way
to go,
sir. Probably better off going
the
Red Mile. The Red Mile.
Yeah, you know, there's validity to what Manasseh is saying, is that hockey is the king in Canada, generally speaking, Manasseh. I'm not admitting to everybody thinks hockey did, but generally speaking, hockey is the king. Here's the thing. The more seasons that Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto, you know, the more these teams are irrelevant in hockey, those communities are going to be more loyal to football than people. And here, in Toronto, unfortunately, they're competing with everything. We've got too much going on here.
Yeah.
And then you got the
Jays
have a good year, you know. Loyalty aside, I'm talking about the game, all right? I'm talking about the game. Forget about loyalty. Forget all that BS. I'm talking about the game. It's such a great game. And to me, it's hurtful to think. And I like to think that I'm crazy and it's wrong and there's no reason to believe what I'm saying. I just said I see a red flag. When you can't get a decent busload of people to buy tickets before the season, and maybe it's because they might be going on strike. You know, that might be holding people back. But to me, I want to get on that bus. I want to get on that bus.
You got to think about what happened, Frank. Like, think about how everything that played out. You had that great Raptors playoff run, which got everybody excited.
Oh, no
kidding. Even though they lost.
Now you're making
it
worse.
It was a great ride. Right. And then, you know, the Blue Jays are coming. And, you know, you just think about what happened between last year's playoff game and up till now and all the excitement that's happened. It made people forget about, you know, Argos.
So you're beginning to drink my Kool-Aid, aren't you? You're starting to drink my Kool-Aid. You're starting to get it. And it is.
Yeah, I got it. Vodka.
Not a bad team this year, so that's another team to watch in Toronto, the soccer.
Yeah.
Even though we beat
them. That's
the
thing I don't really get is the whole MLS thing, because it's like the MLS in America, it's like nothing. Like, no one even cares. But for whatever reason, TFC is like huge, and I don't even know, I don't get why it got so big. Like, how did TFC become so popular?
You're wrong. You know, soccer is getting so big in the U.S., they're bringing in a second New York team.
Yeah, it's only big in, like, pockets, like Seattle and Portland, and,
that's,
you know,
only,
even
like,
the current,
like
the current New York team,
like
the Red Bull.
Cry.
Yeah, too, it is. Like, I actually follow the MLS.
Just,
like, I
get
know,
into
pay
that
attention
stuff.
To it. But I can't watch a full game. I only watch the highlights because it's impossible to watch a whole soccer game
and don't,
not go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I agree with you.
But you know what, guys? Here, let me see if I can make a point. Okay, you know, when it comes to baseball, soccer, the excitement, you know, in sports, that, you know, we talk about this all the time. Please remember and don't forget, it's when you sit in the stadium and there's a game that matters and the fans believe it matters. There's nothing more exciting. I mean, when you sit in the stadium. Even if you don't like the Raptors, okay, and ask anyone who's been to a Raptors game, except for John, anybody who's been to a Raptors game, okay, anyone who's been to a Raptors game, and when you watch a basketball game there, before they even had this run, when they play well and the game's being played well, the excitement is incredible. Serge, am I blowing smoke?
Wait, I was there in March, and it was freaking awesome. I loved it. It was great.
And for
cheap price, not like the Leafs.
But to each their own, right? Right? I just like hockey and football, and that's it. That's period. That's it. Done. That's all I like.
But the point I'm trying to make is the one that we argue about with football and with Toronto and the Argonauts. The reason we don't want them in the Dome isn't because the Dome is a horrible place to watch a football game when it's snowing. It's because it's too big for the crowd, and it kills the excitement. And when I sit there watch the Raptors and the stadium's, let's say, even if it's only 90% full, even if for the Raptors it's only 90% full, which it never is, it's always pretty much full. And and you get in that that place and you start to feel, and basketball especially, lots of excitement. The fans are very youthful here in Toronto compared to the old fogies, you know, that that go to the hockey game.
Yeah.
Hockey
yeah.
game, you want to talk about boring, go to a Leafs game.
Suit.
Yeah, the Leafs games are terrible. It's not like the Canadians.
Probably haven't
won
it since 1967, so no.
Yeah, but the Canadians have, like, the greatest sports atmosphere I've ever seen. Like, I remember, I'm not a big hockey fan, but I've been tuning in the last couple of years, and that's the only team that I enjoy watching their home playoff games is the Canadians. That is amazing.
Those
are the best fans I've ever seen across all
leagues. Oh, come on now. Calgary's best, too. Come on.
Oh, please, don't go there. Come on. Did you watch that series against Boston? The way the crowd showed up?
Did you watch the 2004 playoffs?
It was unreal.
Calgary should have won?
Manasseh, let me help this guy out. Tell him how old you are, and then remind him that no Canadian team has won the Cup in over 20 years.
Since 1993.
Right.
And how old was Manasseh in 1993? What were you, 10?
No, I was like 4.
Ooh, me?
There you go. Even better.
You were 4 years old?
Yeah. You see, you got to know who you're talking to. And
sometimes it's kind of hard because your mind goes a little bit off wander.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it, man. What really matters is, the point of it is that you're talking about excitement that happened 21 years ago. And that's the point I'm trying to make.
When I had hair.
The point I'm trying to make is that and why Manasseh said that Montreal's far more exciting is because he hasn't seen much excitement come out of Calgary in hockey in his lifetime. Okay? Montreal this year showed Manasseh what a Canadian city does when hockey matters. If last year, you know, Manasseh, what it looked like here in Toronto when they made just the first series.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Right? You know, and that's what I'm talking about. Football, our team here in Toronto is not putting on a good show, not because Barker's not doing a good job as a GM or Milanovic isn't doing a good job as a coach or the players aren't playing the way they should. It's because the stadium, it's like wearing a suit that's 4 sizes too big. I mean, you don't look good. You just don't look good.
Yeah, the CFL usually has bad playoff crowds. Like, if you notice, the only places that it really gets that loud and you see the electricity is like if BC's in the West Final, if
Saskatchewan's
in the West Final,
Calgary,
and like maybe Montreal. Like, if Montreal's in the East Final and they get like 50,000 at the Big O, that's about it. Everywhere else there's a playoff game, they get like, you know, it's like 60-70% capacity and it's not that loud and it doesn't even feel like a playoff game. That's the thing I hate about
the CFL.
I don't agree with you on that.
I don't think there's been a playoff game. Last year, even Toronto, because Hamilton was here, was pretty much 75, almost 80% full. Saskatchewan, we don't have to talk about Saskatchewan. I don't think they played in an empty stadium.
Calgary
was a little empty.
You know?
Yeah, it was
pretty empty. I was surprised. And they were the best team in the league.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
You had all the
lots
of
playoff games to play. And where else were playoff games? You can't count Guelph, because Guelph is like they had a closet base, basically.
Yeah.
18 people.
Yeah, I'm talking about the last couple of years. Like,
yeah,
big
yeah,
picture.
I hear you.
Like, when I look around the CFL, it's Montreal, BC, Saskatchewan that you're guaranteed a good playoff crowd, especially if they're in the division final.
And you're talking
everywhere
about,
else.
But you are talking about consistently good teams as well, those cities. You know, that's the other thing.
I mean,
the fans show up,
and then they actually act like a playoff crowd. Like,
yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
Hey, listen, when Hamilton came to Toronto last year, I know
Hamilton
you don't
fans
believe, yeah,
took over.
Dude, there were only 10,000 Hamilton fans. There were 35,000.
No way.
Yes.
Frank,
dude.
You know that's a lie. That is a
complete
lie.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Even Hamilton people know that that's
people
the
at
truth.
The game, right?
They were 35,000 at the game. There had to be
and
at least 20,000 Hamilton fans. At
nah.
least.
The regular you are so full of you know what.
I'm serious, dude. I looked at whenever TSN during the game was like, you know, how they do pan out and they look at the crowd, saw was black and gold.
But,
I didn't see a drop of blue anywhere.
Dude, hear this, and I want you to hear this very carefully. Most of the seats every year that are sold at the Dome are sold on the home side of the field, okay? The side that we sit on is usually fairly empty, and the visiting fans get on that side beside where John and us and where the lifers are, right, where we are, right?
Right.
And the seats are usually pretty empty there. Those are the seats that Hamilton took over. They didn't kick people out of their seats, you know, on the Argo side. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They bought half the stadium, and then the section in the upper bowl that they opened was all Hamilton.
They didn't even have a third. And this is why this whole we're doing the full circle.
They didn't have a third, Frank.
No, they
didn't. You know that's a lie.
No, I'm not.
It was at least half, if not 60% of the stadium.
I'll be the mediator. Frank's right.
Why am I right? Not that I don't want you to agree with me.
No, I'm just saying, you're right. I'm listening to everything you guys are talking about, so you're right.
Okay, here it is. You got the 25,000 people that show up at the Argo games during the regular season. 22, 25,
right.
28, it varies. So what you're telling me,
Manasseh,
there were 35,000 people there. And what you're trying to sell, Manasseh, is that less Argo fans went to the playoff game than went to the regular season.
Yeah, because, here's the thing, Frank, you missed. Like, during the regular season, when they...
I was there.
Okay, they say... I'm just going to give you the numbers. They always say there's like, there'll be like 23,000 at Rogers Center to see the Argos. Then when you actually see it on TV, you can tell that there's barely 17,000 people. The lower bowl by itself only holds like 24,000 people.
Oh, anyway,
people.
I was there.
Yeah, I mean, they claim it. They can say it. Like, they could have had corporate people buy up a whole section of seats.
Okay.
But the reality is,
and I say,
there was at least 20,000 Hamilton fans at that game. There's no way it could have been less than that.
I'm going to make the other point. Who goes to football games here?
Oh, nobody. Toronto, apparently.
Okay. Who goes to a sporting event? Any sporting event?
I go to two football games a year.
Okay. Are the cameras on both sides of the field, or are they on one side of the field?
Yeah, that's what I mean, Frank. They had a camera shot from the end zone where you could see the whole stadium. And they did that over and over again.
Because, like, last year, Frank, I mean, sorry to interrupt you guys here, but last year I was walking in Commonwealth watching the Calgary Stampeders play in Edmonton, and I was following the TSN crew, and they actually did, you know, basically go up into the stands on the other side of the field to – you know, take shots at people. I'm like, can I get on TV, please?
Yeah, but they're taking, Storm, you're talking about the close-ups. You're talking about the fan close-ups where they show a group 10 to 12 people.
But here's the other point
I want to make, and then I'm done, and you can keep talking, and I'll just turn my mic off. The other point is that the visiting fans make more noise than the home fans. Because the visiting fans
that's
are the
only
who actually
true
care.
In freaking Toronto, dude. That's not true everywhere. I've never seen the visiting fans go through it.
Have you ever seen the visiting fans louder
in Montreal than the Montreal fans? Never.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the visiting fans go to Hamilton and be louder than the only place that happens, Frank, Argo home games. And then when the Riders go to Calgary or when the Riders go to Edmonton, that's the only time that happens.
Again, go back to the beginning of the show. A couple of hundred of us went to the game in Guelph, okay? Now, when I say a couple of hundred or whatever, okay? And the stadium only holds about whatever. It doesn't hold barely 10,000. Barely 10,000 people. Now, we were louder than the Ticat fans. When things were going well for us, we were louder than they were. Road fans are there for a reason. They're there to support their team, and they're not
And
they're the loudest of all, and they show up. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the Argo fans overpowering numerically. It's the excitement that there's more excitement coming from the people who spend $150 on the road, drink a bunch of beer on the way, and then get in the stands, and now they're all together, and they're the road team. These people didn't come to the game to sit on their hands. And the Hamilton fans were there. Yeah. There were 10,000, and they sounded like 30,000 because they were 10,000 rabid fans who spent the whole year not going to a game because they didn't want to go to Guelph. I mean, think about it for a second. Last year was a bit of a break for those Hamilton fans to come here to Toronto. They were more than happy to come to Toronto game. They didn't want to play in Guelph. They didn't want to go to the game in Guelph. And in fact, they didn't sell out the game in Guelph against Montreal. 10,000? They couldn't sell 10,000 tickets?
They did sell 10,000. What are you talking about?
There were empty seats there. There were empty seats at that game.
Yeah, that was because the weather was terrible. Don't you remember how
what
bad
it comes
was?
Down
was
to, guys, though, is, you know what, you pay your money, you could do whatever you want and cheer for whoever you want. But if you don't want to go, don't go. If you want to go, you're going to spend a lot of money.
Storm, if you're going to go out of your way to follow your team to another town, you're going to make sure they know you're there.
I do that in Edmonton. I show my colors, but I don't chirp, right? I'll say my thing here and there and the stuff, but I won't swear or anything like that or whatever sort of thing. And
No.
I've learned that the hard way. But anyway.
Oh, did you? I'm just surprised you learned.
You got to know when to zip it, right? Zip it.
There you go.
But show your colors, but zip it.
Yeah, but road fans are far more excited than home fans. At one per one.
I like going to other stadiums besides even the McMahon Stadium, to tell you the truth, because
you know
you're all cheering for the same team basically. But when you go on the road, it's like it's a different feeling.
But you're an
you're
odd
sort of
bird,
like,
right?
You're sort of by yourself, sort of going against the crowd and against the grain.
No,
I,
but
I
he's
know
a,
what
he's a Manasse, he's a, you know that he lives in Edmonton, right?
Right, I know.
Okay, good. So for him, every game's a road game.
Yeah, exactly. But I only
you know,
go to two
game,
games, so when Calgary comes, that's it. That's
yeah,
all
every,
I go to.
Yep. Yeah, so every game's a
so
road
you,
game.
So Storm, you go to the the game at Edmonton after Labor Day, right? The Friday night one.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's Saturday now, but I don't know why
they changed
it.
Okay.
Friday,
so
Saturday,
when that game's on, like, how many Stamps fans do you think make the trip? Like, how many Stamps fans do you think are in the stands?
Oh God, that's a hard one, buddy. I don't know.
Percentage. Try percentage.
Percentage.
A third.
20%, maybe 8%.
Okay, so
110%.
Because they get like 40,000 for that
if
game,
I'm lucky.
I think, most of the time.
But
right.
You'd have to ask Noella, but she doesn't want to come on the phone, so.
That's okay. And the best example of Road Warrior fans are the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah, well, you know what?
They go to the game with the uniforms. They got the jerseys happening.
Yeah,
they got the watermelon.
Yes.
When they're on the
that's
road.
That's what I do. I do that minus the watermelons. But
listen,
the most ignorant fans in the whole league is Saskatchewan.
Wow, he's
that's
jealous
true.
Because they have so many. I agree
it's
with you,
though.
But that's not
the truth.
No, they're the most they're the most bombastic. Okay, rude.
Do you call it that? Do you call it rude or do you call it passionate?
Well, you know what? Passion is what happens.
That's a good way of putting it.
Passion is what happens just before you get rude.
I'm passionate. But I mean, I don't go out there and start a fight or whatever sort of thing.
No,
blah, blah,
but
blah.
I cheer
for my team.
Let's call it like it is, right? You got to admit though, it's when there are so many Saskatchewan fans on the road, they get cocky. Okay, I can see that.
Not Saskatchewan.
No. They get cocky when they're like when I watch them in Toronto. That here they come. You know, they dress in their uniforms. You know, and they're cocky, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. And yes, they are rude to Argo fans, but guess what? Argo fans are just as rude to them. It's part of the football thing. And as far as fights breaking out,
it's part of the game. Yes,
I don't see any
of
that. Let's not. Like maybe if I go to Saskatchewan,
I'm talking about taking it further though. Like the fights and stuff like that. That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
but that
like
doesn't
they,
happen in that. That doesn't happen in the stadium.
No,
well,
it
and
happens,
when it does
happen,
happens,
it happens
Frank,
in the stadium.
Yeah, it happens in Winnipeg too for the Banjo Bowl when the Riders show up. You know, there's
yeah,
always like
true,
almost
yeah.
like 5,000 of them, and they
yeah,
always get in these huge groups. And so when they have the beer garden, right? Halftime, it never fails. There's always a huge brawl because the Rider
yeah,
fans start doing
yeah.
that whole "Let's go Riders, go" chant, and then they start talking. Because I was there like 2 years ago, they were the loudest, most obnoxious group of fans I've ever seen. And I've been to so many NFL games, I've never seen anything like that. Like they were just cussing and just going absolutely crazy. And there was like three or four fights just walking into the stadium, coming up the ramp. And I'm sorry, Frank. I know you're trying to be PC here, but they're the worst fans
in
all of North America.
What I'm trying to be is to not blow it out of proportion. That's all.
No.
Saskatchewan, you can't blow that out of whatever the hell you said.
You can't,
that's
Frank.
It's just wrong because you know what?
Tequila.
My parents are born in Saskatchewan. I have half Saskatchewan fans, half Stampeders fans. I've been put up with this all my life for 45 years, and I'm just sick and tired.
To be honest with you, the only reticence I have is I have difficulty talking about people who can't defend themselves. And I think being in the position that I'm in here and having this program, it's difficult. Manasseh, that's all it is I just don't think it's right that I don't like negative talk about people, especially when they're
mm-hmm.
unable to defend themselves, okay? And you know how I feel about negative
yeah.
talk, period. So, you know,
yeah.
I, for that, I hope I am consistent when it comes to that. Yes, I have witnessed
yeah, no,
the behavior of Saskatchewan fans. Have I seen any fights in my purview? No, I haven't. Am I denying that they exist? No, I'm not denying that they exist. Let's just make sure that we don't
mm-hmm.
make it sound like this is, you know, a Donnybrook. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
okay.
this
yeah.
isn't a hockey
talk.
Yeah. We're not talking about a Don. You know, what we're talking about is a couple of people who have, and when I say a couple, when you're talking 30, 40,000 people, a couple can be as many as 10, you know what I mean? Or 20 or 30, when you're talking 40,000 people, for goodness sake. So, yeah, that kind of stuff's going to happen. Security takes care of it pretty quick. I know here in Toronto they do, and it doesn't. I don't doubt for a second that when people start tipping glasses, their common sense starts to, you know, usually what happens with people who drink alcohol, they drink too much, they pee a lot of their brains out, literally. So, you know, it's just the way it works. It's just the way it works. Security does a great job. CFL games are pretty safe, and I don't want to give anybody the impression that going to a CFL game is taking your life into your hands. It ain't quite like that. That's not
it is when you go to Mosaic Stadium.
I still want to push that. Well,
try wearing a Stamps uniform in Saskatchewan.
Well, I remember seeing the Grey Cup, and I remember seeing a corner of the stadium. I mean, the very corner of the stadium, the upper, and there might have been 8 or 10.
The upper, yeah, I can imagine.
Corner at the Grey Cup, right? And yeah, I get it. I get what you guys are saying, but you know what? Saskatchewan fans are diehards. Are they blowhards? Yeah, they
yep.
probably are. But they have every right to be blowhards. They love their team, And you know, I'm not defending the people who take it, you know, over the deep end, right?
Well,
but you know what?
In every team, though, right?
But you know what I admire about Saskatchewan fans, and just to take, let's talk about the positive as well. It doesn't matter
okay.
how long they've been gone from Saskatchewan. It doesn't matter how far from Saskatchewan they are. They are proud Rider fans.
Yes,
they wear their colors
yes.
in Hawaii, China.
Yes, and I wish that was
mean.
The same way with Calgary.
Exactly. So I'm just
Calgary.
Trying to make sure. I'm just trying to make
mean,
sure.
Frank.
I'm just trying to make sure that we don't let, and I'm not accusing anybody of this, that I want to make sure that jealousy isn't the vehicle for saying nasty things about Saskatchewan.
No.
That's all. That's all.
No,
you know,
I wouldn't say it's
yeah,
jealousy.
No,
I mean, like, Winnipeg fans are... probably just as, you know, passionate